Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman in there too as well. It's just what the idea of expressing what we express in the show is a spirit. I guess you would say my spiritual link, so therefore it came about that way. It's like one of those things being spiritually led to do certain things, so you put it in there and do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? So I hope everybody's doing good out there and that kind of stuff. And we're sitting here and we're having a Monday show. Usually we only have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I thought that we would do this because it's like, yeah, we're having some things going on here in my personal life where we're actually trying to acquire finances and opportunities and that kind of thing to actually correct the situation that's going on right now. Or tomorrow is my last day here in this place where I'm actually living now. So therefore, if it's one of those situations that anybody could out there could give at this time, which I know things can be kind of difficult and that kind of stuff, but the idea of donations to keep the show going and the idea of actually getting me home, because I think it's time to go to where I need to go, as in being home, to get that certain blocks off my shoulders too, so I can actually relax and put everything I can into this show and into all my clients and all the things that I do. I also work on I also work on Keen, that's KEEN.com. They do call me Psychic X Journeyman on there too as well. And right now we're having a special on there, which you can call me at 99 cents a minute. But if you want to just get a private reading, that goes in various things here right now, where if you're hearing me speak, you are classified as being part of the show. So therefore, we have a special right now going on. It's only $50, and there's no time limit. It's just a flat-out $50 for a reading, so it doesn't matter how many questions you have or how long it takes. So put it out there and take advantage of that, too, as well. We're also looking at situations and donations to the show. If you've gone to my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com, you'll notice that there we have a donation. We have a fund. It's called Going Home Fund and the Support the Show Fund. So at this time, if you're able to do that, all donations are really appreciated at this time, as always. As you see, we got a little thing going on here, so we're, put the message out there. So whatever you feel like you do, that's fine. But realistically, the ideal of the readings and stuff is where I like to do it and go with the whole thing. It's just one of those situations of coming off the road of working with the carnival, thinking that was a solution. And it seemed like it was one of those things that just maybe it was just a vacation. And it's taking a little bit longer to actually get things to fall into place. So it's not the ideal or not. It's just the ideal time. And we know how that works with the universal scheme of things. But sometimes human beings have a tendency, they want to dictate their own timing. And it has a tendency to put people in situations that we can get a little stressed and get a little worried about the whole situation. So I'm trying, putting myself into a situation right now. I'm not really trying. I'm just doing it. So therefore, there we go. If you want to give me a call for a private reading, that number is 740-500-8863. Or, like I said, contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Also, the situation, if you want to check out some HemiSync CDs, which we've been talking a lot about on this show, and how they can benefit your meditations and the things you're trying to accomplish with your life. If you have anxiety and things like that, they have CDs just for those too as well. So go to the website, which is www.hemi-sync.com. I'm actually trying to put a commercial together for that too, where we've all seen the commercial on television. I think it's a Ford commercial where the guy pulls up next to the Ford truck and he goes, "Is that a Hemi?" And the guy goes, "Yeah." And the guy goes, "Sweet." I was trying to put something together where it was more like someone walking in and hearing the music in the living room and asking, "Is that a Hemi?" "Yeah." "Sweet." So check it out. That's www.hemi-sync.com. So give it a check out there. We also got another company out there called BrainSync, and you should definitely check out BrainSync. That's a good one. My favorite CD is, like with HemiSync CD, my favorite CD is Chakra Journey. It actually covers the seven chakras, and then the eighth track on there is actually just for grounding, which I think that we should all do both of them at the same time. Balance out our chakras and ground ourselves. Yes. But BrainSync is that's subliminal CDs. I mean, we've all heard about the technology of subliminal messages and that kind of stuff. And basically what it is just the idea of replacing your subconscious mind with positive thoughts. And my favorite one there is Attracting Love. There's three tracks on there. One's an introductory, and the other one is a talking through meditation. And then the third one is just music with the subliminal technology. So check that out too as well. That's www.brainsync.com. www.brainsync.com. So this we'll look at the situation, and I was going to sit there like I always do. I love this meditation, and I think it's one of those things of putting energy out there to get things started. So this is the one right here. This is for the angels and relationships, for angels to help you with relationships, okay? What you do is you say, "Today I send love to this world, and I call everyone my friend, regardless of who they are or what they've done. I see only the Spirit of God in every person, including myself. I love the completeness I am, the selfhood of God we all share as our eternal reality. I look within to this magnificent self, and I say, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. and I love all my neighbors on earth as I love myself, for we are one. I love unconditionally, I give my love freely, and that love returns to me in bountiful measures. I am worthy of love, of being loved, and I accept the love of others. I think of all the people I know by name, and I feel the harmlessness and harmony that exists between us. I look at my family unit, and I see only the expression of love, goodwill, kindness, and respect among all members. I am thankful for my friends, and I see our friendships, and I see our relationships deepening in love, joy, and mutual understanding. And I know that there is a special someone with overflowing love to share, who right at this moment is being attracted to the love I have to give, two flames soon uniting as one, in a bond of love and ecstasy. Love is everything. Oh, how I love love. And if you sit here and look at the meditation itself, it covers everything. The idea of completion, of loving oneself, loving your neighbors, loving unconditionally, loving all the people you know by name, no matter what they've done to you, also your family unit, your friends, and also the idea of realizing that in the process of being a loving person yourself, of loving unconditionally, that there is a special someone out there for you that's being attracted to the love you're putting out there. So see how it pulls you together and that kind of stuff. It's the idea of trusting the law of attraction, which is the idea of how it works, is it brings, pulls things to you as you are a giant magnet. So we look at the situation, and I was sitting here looking at some books here today, too. It's interesting, some of the information you can get, and the idea how you formulate it and put it in your life, and then try to get to the point where you just live it. And we were talking about the idea of the five parts of your life, and that they go like this, just your spiritual life, your service to others as a true success in life. Number three is your physical body. Number four is your finances. And number five, and those are the things we're talking about, having success in all parts of our lives. So keep those in mind as well, okay? But also the idea, we were sitting talking about the angels, and you should definitely get the book, The Angels Within Us, so therefore you can meet up with the 22 angels in an exploratory session of actually sitting down and talking with them. Take on the energies of power and authority and spiritual strength and will, the two important angels that actually help in the process of manifestation, and then follow with the cleansing work with forgiveness. It's like, what you mean by that is follow the cleansing work of forgiveness, denials of limiting appearances, and a healing of the past. So just let go of everything. Okay? So this can all depend. Let's get to some calls here and let's take a look here and see what we got going on. We got, let's go to area code 613. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. And how are you tonight? And what's your name?
I'm fine. Thank you. My name is Donna.
Anna?
Donna.
Where are you? What is it? I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Wait, one more time. What's your name?
Donna.
I'm sorry.
Donna.
Oh, Donna.
Yeah.
Okay. What I was doing, what we do on almost every show is the idea of looking up your area code, the first three numbers of your phone number, just to get an idea, because I feel like the angels communicate with us so much that we just don't realize it. And the idea of making that first decision to actually look at something sets things in motion where you'll start listening and you'll start seeing more messages too as well. So you have 613, which means the Ascended Masters are helping you feel happy and peaceful regarding your situation. So we look at the situation, we go a little bit to see, we got this one here. Is give any stress or worries to the angels who are helping you with your everyday concerns. Your new positive outlook is improving your home and your work life. Look only at possibilities and not at the material illusion. You are powerful and can overcome any situation using a positive mindset.
I like that.
So there. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Hello?
So how can we help you, Donna?
I'm just wondering when I'll hear from this man I've been talking to, Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering.
Cameron?
When I'll hear from him again. I haven't heard from him in a couple of weeks, and I'm just wondering when and if I'll hear from him again.
So does anybody ever call him Cammy?
I don't know.
It actually came to me 3 times. I was just kind of curious if someone has actually said anything to him. First, I mean, I'm just looking at the situation. It seems like things are changing a lot, and a lot of things going on around you. So I keep getting this very strong yes, and certain things changing within the parameters of your relationship. Almost like some realization of letting down a mask or a veil, almost like someone looking at themselves for a change instead of looking outwards to change themselves. That makes sense?
I don't know. Trying to understand it.
You're trying to understand it?
No, understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Do you have any idea when?
Okay. No, the thing is, what's happening, someone's having troubles. They're having doubts within themselves. So when we talk about a veil or something to look through, the illusion, is the idea of realizing that what you're seeing is a manifestation of how you used to think, which is presenting itself today. So everybody's wanting a different change in their lives, and they don't realize in order to do that, things are going to be different. You're not going to recognize it. Because there's nothing to recognize. New.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all different. But the situation with Cameron, or that's what his name is, right?
Yeah.
When you start to look at the situation, you feel like a man who is not a person who completely opens up.
Yes.
He hides his feelings. All right. I don't want to sit here and say I hide these feelings, but he refuses to really express them to the fullest. So he has a tendency to hold back.
Yeah, I think so.
So the situation is like looking at going, okay, man is going. It's like coming to a realization of what he really wants.
Right?
I'm just taking a deep breath. Oh. No, I'm just getting frustrated. Sometimes with the situation of, you know, just trying to get out there, okay? Sometimes when you look at guys, I just want to smack them. Because it's the idea of life and everything like that. And when people talk about problems and issues and that kind of stuff, those are things of yesterday. They don't exist anymore. And that's the truth. They don't exist. And with the situation with you, it's the idea of opening up too as well and letting yourself feel exactly what's going on and not being scared that it might not be exactly what you want it to be. But with the process of holding back, you'll never know. The one thing I always talk about all the time is the idea of why it is so important to follow your heart. Why it is so important to put yourself in a situation of always following your heart. Because realistically, when you're not following your heart, you're not respecting and you're not really paying honor to yourself. You're missing out on so much when you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Take a path and always want to think and think and think and think instead of taking it for what it is. And it's the idea of when we think too much, we have a tendency to pull memories up of things that we've gone through before, and we have a tendency to judge them by what's going on, which we don't realize that those memories from the past were in the past. And what's going on right now, the reason it could be so confusing, because it really doesn't match. Because what's going on between you and this new person is ideal, something totally different. So it's not going to match anything you've ever been through. Because it's a new experience. And if you sit there and look at the situation of learning how to really follow your heart and listen and see things for what they really are, you'll never be doubtful about anything and you won't be confused. You'll know exactly what's going on. These are the things that help us. But so many people are so scared of not finding that one person, or they might miss it, or all kinds of fears. But they don't realize that they're actually missing the expectations of the relationship developing itself. And sometimes it doesn't happen, and it's delayed because of those fears. That's why we're saying with the situation, there's a person, and you and this guy are not together. That's true, right?
Sorry? You said, no, we're not together.
Okay. It just seems like to me like you really have some time on your hands to really focus on your issues and ask yourself, are there any fears within yourself as well?
Oh, yeah. Will I hear from him again?
Yes, you will.
Do you know how much?
All I get is soon. It depends on what you're willing to do to clear out blocks that you feel like are there.
Sorry?
It's the ideal that when the fears that you have, you know you have fears. It's the ideal of taking the time to face those fears.
I've just been, like, I kind of backed off a little bit to give him some space.
Okay, why did you give him space?
No, he said, like, he stopped contacting me. Like, we were talking back and forth, like, sending each other messages all the time. He stopped contacting me. So I just thought that's a good time for me to just kind of back up and let him wait for him to contact me again. So I'm just wondering whether I'll hear from him or not. That's all.
No. I'm just saying, with the situation, what was your last contact? What did he say the last time you talked to each other?
The last time we had a discussion about something that he had posted on Facebook, but before that it was like, think you're thinking about me too much. So
he said what? Thinking.
He said, I think you're thinking about me too much. So then he.
And I would have said, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the one thing I tell people all the time, too, is the idea of when you have a tendency to stop yourself from saying certain things, it's a fear of the reaction you're going to get. So, see, there's a fear. The idea that you're scared you'll call him up and you'll find out something else is going on in his life, like he has another woman. That's a fear. So, you see, the situation you're looking at here, if you're backed off because you felt like in some sense you should, fine. I look at the situation a little bit differently. Here's a person who says you're thinking about me too much. That, to me, needs to have a conversation of asking what does he mean by that. That's too vague. Is it done in a joking way? Is it done in a non, I'm kind of worried about you kind of way? It needs to be discussed more than just having the comment. Because when I look at the situation, I see a person who's saying certain things and he's looking for a response. And you're scared of giving the response because you're scared of the reaction. And I'm just saying it needs to be a face-to-face, sit-down conversation kind of thing. You know, it's almost like I want to stress to everybody. You know, Facebook is recreational. Why do people put stuff on there? You know, I'm brushing my teeth. Who gives a hoot? It's about time that we started having relationships in the real world instead of having them on the Internet. So we need to take it back a notch and go, okay, Facebook, the Internet were never meant to be sole communicational device. They were meant to fill a void of when you can't communicate with someone. Like if you're in the war or you're abroad or certain things where you can actually get a connection where you can't use your phone, those kind of things. Texting is the same thing.
Yeah.
Texting has gotten out of hand where it's taking more of our lives than we recognize that we don't realize that the interaction and fun going out with people, you know, going hiking and doing all those things where you do physical sense of thing and talk and have a conversation. Those are fun. I guarantee you.
Will he contact me again or?
He will contact you, yes. He will definitely contact you. I get the impression about a week, 8 days. I get very soon. So it's one of those things. The one thing you need to stop doing is you need to stop worrying. Worrying, it's like you want to post a big old billboard out there and say, worry is a lack of faith. When you put that kind of energy into things, this is why you get delays in some things that you're actually hoping that will happen. Because it's the ideal taking the hoping to wanting it, but also clarifying exactly what do you want. Do you just want contact? Do you want a conversation? Or do you want a relationship and that longevity? Those are the things that you have to sit there and ask yourself and also put yourself in a situation where you're not scared to go get them.
Yeah, I want all three. Contact, conversation, and a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he and I have a relationship.
That's up to you. I know it's kind of a, people go, well, you just, you know, answer the question. Well, my thing is, why can't you answer the question yourself? Do you think there's going to be one? The guy says you think about him too much. This is a guy who's worried about if he's got the, it's almost like a fear. It is a fear that he's not worthy enough. So when people start thinking in the sense of not being worthy enough, they have feelings too, and probably the feelings is about as deep as you are, or maybe even more. So when you start to look at the situation, the answer to the question is not simply a yes or no question, is it?
I guess not.
Well, relationships are so much more than just two people interacting. It's two lives.
So you think I'll hear from him in about a week or so?
About 5 days, 5 to 8 days. You ready?
Does he miss me? I don't know. Is he missing me? I don't know. Cause...
Is he missing you?
Yeah.
I get the impression that he's missing you quite a bit.
What's taking him so long?
Well, you're, to put it truthfully and bluntly, it's not taking him that long. That's your perception. His perception is he's taking long enough. No, I'm just saying, he's never, one thing you have to understand in relationships, your significant other will never do it the way you want him to do it, or her. They always do it the way they're going to do it because that's their perceptions. That's who they are. Just like you are. You have you've got this time frame that you want. That's who you are. And see, that's what we were talking about before. Just step back, look at the situation and go, okay, let it go. That's not, now we didn't say the words, you know, give up on it. We're saying let it go. You're too attached to the situation and the person themselves. So when we look at the reflection here, when he said that you're thinking about it too much, he's getting attached to you. But it's also a reflection you should listen to yourself and step back and detach yourself from the situation because the relationship will unfold a whole lot quicker. I guarantee you. Just leave her with a, nice card before you go, okay? And I said, I'm going to give you a nice card before you go, okay?
Okay.
And the card is Archangel Jophiel. That's Jophiel. This card is clear your space. It says get rid of clutter, clear the energy around you, and use any kind of like feng shui, those kind of things to get the energy flowing all the time. It's also your home and work environments affect you on many levels. Clutter can erode your energy, creativity, and prosperity. And this angel can help you find the time and motivation to clear interferences from your physical environment. Together, you can release anything that's not serving you. Donate, recycle, discard unused items. We'll open the windows to circulate fresh air in your rooms and escort lower energies away. You'll definitely notice a huge improvement in all areas of your life as a result of this endeavor. So it's the idea of clearing, also the situation of clearing out, what would you say? Clearing out a...
Mm-hmm.
It's the idea of getting light safe and cleansing your house.
You have no idea how fitting that is for me, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was kind of funny because I just like, okay, I was like, before I even really decided as in the sense of pulling a card, I didn't... That one was just right there. So I was like, oh, okay. Everything happens for a reason, so it's just right there. So,
yeah, well, it certainly suits me, that's for sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling in. And like I said, give us an update on how things are going, but I guarantee if you let it go and detach yourself from the situation, it will unfold a whole lot quicker, and you'll definitely know how he feels. But when I started saying follow your heart, when you follow your heart, it eliminates your mind so you can see the truth as well. So you won't sit here and question it. It just helps you to be more motivated to say, okay, this is what it is, to be in a sense of anticipation. You know? It's going to happen. It's going to fall into place. It's going to be great. Yes, and you know, it's like when we're together, it's like the anticipation. You can feel it within your heart. This is what's going to happen. So therefore, you will be living it. But you have to let go of it and say, shake. I mean, if you have to, just do some really, do some breathing exercises and just practice on letting go as you breathe out. Okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to. I miss him, you know, like I just miss him very much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand.
Yeah.
Believe me. I understand. All right?
Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks.
You have a great night. And
if
you get a chance, please give me a call, and I'd love to do a reading for you. Past life reading would do wonders for you. I hope you understand some of the actions and some of the things you do, right?
Yeah. Okay. I will. Well, keep that in mind. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And this, we're sitting here looking at the situation, looking at a lot of things going on. Let's go check the chat room real quick. We're walking in the chat room right now as you speak. Lots of people in here, too. We got guest threes. Actually, it's guest 36315. We got Melly 66. We got Paint. Planum Drone 5885. And then we got Paulina Sun Goddess. Welcome you all to the chat room. If you have any questions in here, please let me know. I'll definitely answer those questions for you, too. I always ask for people to call in, but, you know, I understand the circumstances sometimes of the situation. So go ahead and ask your question. Be glad to answer every one of them. I was going to do something. And then we're sitting here going over some stuff. I also put the information to call in the show. Also, the information is in the chat room right now, too. See where you can call me, and you can also go to my website. The phone number is 740-500-8863, or go to my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. And with the situation, if you're going to make any donations to the show, just go right to the website. There is a donation button, so it's very easy and very uncomplicated. So let's see. Really. We have a question in the room here. Okay, Sierra Franklin. Is it okay if we answer this question on the air? I can almost identify with this. Really, seriously. Like, I was looking at the situation. So I was just wondering if I can, you know, because it's like one of those things, like to ask permission first before you do that, because of the chat room and everything else and that kind of stuff. So while she's pondering the situation, I was looking over it myself. And, okay, the question is, let's get back down here. The question is, my mother's talking about she's tired of me, and really, to me, it's over, a little stuffy. So she wants to know if it's the right time, if she should move out. You know, I'm sort of looking at the situation where it's like, wondering, do you see me getting my own place anytime soon or the coming year? My mother's talking, and I was like, oh, I just had this conversation with my mother and my daughter who have these little time frames. But it's like looking at the situations and trying to put them in perspective, too, as well, and say, okay, everything happens for a reason. So what's going on here is the idea of clearing out the old and bringing in the new. In order to do that, it seems like with the situation you're talking about, the mother has no intentions of changing any kind of way she is, and that's understandable because she is who she is. So therefore, it's two conflicts of two personalities basically conflicting, boom, hitting each other. So the situation, I get the impression is it is something that needs to be done as soon as possible, but also on the other level is the idea of actually looking at guidance and meditation to actually help you deal with if you have to stay there any longer, which I feel like you're going to stay there for until the end of the year. And I don't really see the idea of even trying to do, because January seems like it's a whole lot better time to actually go and really move out and find your own place. I do believe if you wait until January, it will happen very quickly, and it'll be a very happy move as well, taking you someplace where you're going to have lots of room to breathe. So that's just, so I'm saying there is, it's like looking at the situation because it seems like you're kind of still thinking about the whole thing. So I also get the impression, too, you have to make a definite decision. Instead of sitting there and saying, I wonder if it's the right time. If it's the right time, I will be gone. If it's not, then the opportunity will arise and the signs will be there for me to see which way to go and to go with the flow. And I hope that was a good, I hope that was satisfactory for you too, because I guess feel like that if you want to really get more specific about the whole thing, we're looking at January. We're looking at January. Almost like the mid-January, okay? That makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, there you are. Yes. All right, let's go on to our other, let's go on and do some calls here. There we go. Let's go on to area code 646. Welcome to the room, and how are you, and what is your name?
Hi, this is Christina again. I just made a donation on your website.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Believe me, appreciate it. Because like I was telling everybody, it was one of those things sometimes in the process of being put into certain situations, you're prompted to ask certain things, and sometimes the asking part can be almost like someone just put a clamp on your mouth going, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. The fear of what people think, we all think we're above it. You know, there's a lot of us go, man. But it's amazing what the fear sets in. The realization at that moment is, I'm not. I'm working on it. Anyway.
Well, have you ever read that book, Conversations with God?
Conversations from God. You know, I read it briefly in actually in Dorian Virtue's book and a couple other people I was reading there for a while. They have inserts from those books and inserts from the Bible. It's kind of strange because my mom says my books. I came into her house and she was like, it was funny how she says those books. I can't have those books in my house. I'm sitting going, okay, Mom, why don't you try this? Read one first before you sit here and just assume, since they're attached to a psychic, they're bad. They're bad, you know. And
the reason why I mentioned about that book is because I think one of the message that the writer got from, I guess, supposedly his conversation with God is that our range of emotion is the degree ranges between love and fear, and everything else is just in between. So
That was also in. I was looking into Jerry Hicks and the books that they got to where they talk about the same thing, basically fear. There's only, as in good and evil, we have good feelings, and then these other, you know, like happiness, joy, and those things just describe good. And then we have these other ones, hatred and other things, that's described evil, or as in the negative energy, positive and negative. So there's only the two. And, I know, I've read all kinds of stuff. And the reason I was sitting there telling people, I said, if you sit and think about it, duality doesn't exist. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, it does. I said, well, it exists on a level where you know there's two ways to go. But once you make that decision to go down a path, there is no duality after that. As long as you follow that path and you follow your heart, there is no duality. You know exactly what to do. It's a spontaneous thing. Because that's what I was trying to tell people when I do relationship counseling and when I talk to people about relationships. Don't be scared of a relationship that goes fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, things fall into place real quickly. Boom, 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 boom. But there's no red flags at all. It's just the speed that scares you. In that case, when you don't understand that we've been through bad relationships, complications, all the work we had to do in those situations to make it go the way we wanted to, when we put ourselves in the flow, and then those relationships also do the same thing. They flow. As things flow, they fall into place very quickly. And so I was going to ask, if you had to see a red flag, of course, slow down and take a look at it and see what's up. Okay, something struck you a certain way. But at the same time, I really stress to people, don't let the past really influence what you see. And people think that's kind of like going blindly into things. But in the process of changing our lives to be something totally different than where we came from, we have to let go of those familiar thoughts and feelings.
I see. Well, I'm curious,
sorry.
You know, And no, it's okay. No, it's just I think it's meant for a reason that I listened in on the first caller, and how you mentioned
mm-hmm.
about fear, because the question I'm about to ask you is also stemming from fear. I'm going through this really dark period in my career, and it seems like I don't want to say the universe is against me, but it seems like pretty much the people in my life and people who are empowered, in the position of power, who can kind of determine what my future is going to be in this particular career,
mm-hmm.
they're not very nice to me, and some even
mm-hmm.
try to sabotage my career. So I wonder, when is everything going to, end? When is the dust going to settle? And why am I going through this? Does God hate me? No, I'm just kidding. But, why?
No.
This is so tough.
Well, let's sit here and look at her situation for a minute. And I'm going to describe another situation for you, okay?
Uh-huh.
The situation goes like this. There's a person that I know, which is me. Right now, I have my daughter who's actually trying to get me to go to a refuge house because she thinks I need help. Because she says I've been doing psychic work for 20 years and I haven't gotten anywhere. I have my mother who has actually physically taken cards and stuff, and she has thrown them away without even telling me about them, and sabotaging and putting things in there and throwing wrenches and all kind of stuff. They'll set up a certain time frame, and then they'll change it. Okay, sabotage in some sense of the word, where they feel like when. It's almost like when you feel like you're getting somewhere, things are really picking up. It's almost like they see it, and then what they do is they go, no, if he's going to be successful, then I can't maneuver him to go where I think he should go. Now, what you need to understand in those situations is to identify those people and then go around them. And then ask yourself, why would you put yourself in those situations, if not to motivate you even more to keep doing what you're doing? That's what it's about. But I sit here and listen to these people all the time. They're constantly doing things like this. And I think the one thing that really irritates me the most is when I'm sitting there saying, well, this is what's going to happen, guys. You want me to go in here? I don't feel like that's the right way to do it. And they're like, yeah, but we feel like this. I'm saying, okay, let's go back to the Bible. And the Bible, it says it's okay to come off loving and caring and give that advice as long as it's not done in a judging way, as long as it does not infringe on someone's free will. And I said, right this moment, that's exactly what's happening, because you're Sarah saying to me that you, since I can't make good decisions, that you should do it for me. Now, in the situation, we know for a fact that's not the way it goes, and that's a person definitely overstepping her boundaries. So the thing you need to do in a situation like I'm doing right now, which I've done before, is when you put yourself in situations like that, and this is when I pull the books out, and I just start really putting myself into things, talking to God, the angels, and that kind of stuff, and say, okay, why is this happening to me? But I know for a fact that everything that's happening in my outer world has something to do with me on the inside, and why it's reflecting that way. So we're looking at all these reflections around us and what's going on in the situation. And I've come up with the assessment is I've been trying really hard to get acceptance for exactly what I do, and the first thing we're going to deal with is people we usually know. And then when we don't get that acceptance, we keep ourselves still in those environments, we still keep doing what we're doing, and we think they're sabotaging us, but what they're doing is they're just not doing anything to us. They're just being who they are. That's just who they are. There's no difference. I mean, it's just, we're sitting there going, what's a sabotaging person? Well, if you sit there and look at their lives, they pretty much do the same thing with their own lives. So therefore, you're just in an environment. So it's like one of those things of asking yourself, are you not doing the same thing of setting yourself up for these things to sabotage yourself as well? Okay, you maneuver yourself around these things and you jump over them and you clear the obstacles and that kind of stuff. But it's almost like it's telling you, okay, you got the know-how, you got the will, and you know exactly what you need to do as in the idea of not having any obstacles. Like there was one thing in this one book that was talking about that God does not have obstacles or obstruction in his way. And to live that way, you would have the same thing God has. Everything just happens just the way he says it's going to. So everything falls into place, you know? And it's one of the things of realizing that you've never been from the source, because you are the same. You know, creation and creation. And people don't think we have any power over our lives. They don't realize one thing. God is a creator. Am I right or wrong? He created life. Okay. Well, let's take it one step further. And guess what? When you're with the right person, so do you. You can create life too as well. So we're very powerful beings. So therefore, that's one of the things you look at and say, okay, the creator, he creates life, and so do you. So therefore, the other ones seem to fall into place and realize, how powerful are you? Are you scared of it? Are you limiting yourself? Because I sit here and look at the same thing all the time. I was sitting going over the whole thing going, there's something here of a block or a limitation or something that I've been doing this for 20 years. Correct. I should be really, in some kind of sense of the word, a whole lot better off, more financially feasible. All the things most people have, I should have those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I sit here and started thinking about the idea of putting myself in these situations of more or less self-sabotage too as well. So it's one of those things of we come out of it for a second and say, okay, I need to do this. I need to move. I need to go somewhere. And then we manifest that to solve that situation. It's almost like we're setting ourselves up for sabotage, so therefore we can prove ourselves to ourselves. If we would just continue to do that, we basically get all these people to follow the wayside and get out of our way. We just don't. So it's like we have the power to get ourselves out of situation, to create the solution. We don't realize, I think we do, but I think it's one of those things of the conflict that we don't realize happens sometimes with the human body and the spirit, that where you come from, the past, how important it is to let that go, how much it does influence what's going on, even subconsciously. But doing the work here, like I was talking about these affirmations and stuff, my biggest thing is I've noticed that when I was on my own, away from my family, that's when I'm the most successful. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their perceptions are of what I'm like when I was around them. That, for some reason, they can't get that perception out of their mind of me going, I was in Colorado for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's baffling that they don't understand that I took care of myself. I did whatever was going on at those times. I came up with solutions and got this out of there, even to the point where I was really doing good for about 2 or 3 years. It wasn't until I let someone walk in there and did it again with self-sabotaging, with some expectations of a person who's going to manage me. It never happened. But the only person I have to blame is me for making the decision to even go to Florida when I should have stayed in Colorado. Now, when you sit and look at the situation and go, okay, everything still pretty much fell into place. And like I've always said before, people go, I just ruined all that time by making that wrong decision. I said, if you just come up with a conclusion that you made a mistake, you learned something. So it wasn't a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to this one point in life and saying, okay, what are we going to do today to keep this to being a continuous, happy, joy, fun-loving life and having a great, happy, joyous future? How we do that? It's the continuously telling ourselves. And I even said this to myself not too long ago. I said, I know for a fact that the one thing I forget to do is when I finally manifest something, I have a tendency to stop doing the work. And the idea is say, okay, I got what I wanted. And it even says in that one book of mine, it says that's the hardest part for people to understand, that when you're in something, it's okay to keep asking for more. So therefore, you can keep the flow going.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing the situation correctly, or maybe, I don't know. But, you know, the career that I want, I'm not able to get it. Because there are so many people who are blocking, you know, either they take away the opportunities or they sabotage me in a way that I can't get those opportunities anymore.
Well, I do it like this. I said this before on a show. I said it's amazing. Sometimes it seems just wasn't marked for us, like a Batman movie. You know, this is the fire extinguisher, and it says fire extinguisher at the top, just in case you forget. And the reason I say that is because I was saying other things like, okay, I'm thinking this is a good opportunity, and then it stopped briefly, abruptly, that was a word, abruptly. That is saying, no, there's another solution. And then you go to another solution. It's just one of those things. Because when I started talking before, when I started saying, follow your heart, follow your heart. Are you following your heart, or was it something that you thought was going to be a good idea? Not what you felt was going to be a good idea. What did you think it? And then when you sit there and look at the situation of one working without the other, more than likely you were following your head instead of your heart. So you look at the situation, you step back and go, okay, what is my heart's desire? What do I really want to do? Because the solution is
I know what I want to do. I know what I want to do. But, you know, there are people who are currently in my life who are blocking the way. And they're doing this, you know, and I'm not saying this, that this is a psychological block. They're actually physically placing the block.
No, I understand what you're saying. When I sit here and talk about my situation, my daughter does physical things as in saying, okay, if you don't do this, you don't love me. That's a physical thing, right? That's standing in someone's way and say, okay, this is what's going on. So what you do is you say, oh, you still maintain who you are and you don't give it in. You look at the situation and go, this person is not good for me. Now, I think sometimes we have a hard time doing that. We have a hard time looking at people and going, okay, we think we make a decision to X people out of our lives. Go, see, when I look at your it's almost like I get a vision of your life. And it starts, it's almost like a magic marker. And it's marking people out. X. It's like, you don't need to understand why they're doing what they're doing. You don't even need to know who they are. All you need to do is you know what they're doing, their actions, and you say, okay, you avoid it.
How can I avoid this? I mean, they are blocking my path to become, you know, to get into the career that I want.
That's true, sweetie, but you got to look at the situation. When we sit here and talk about God and angels, and when we start saying follow our guidance and follow our hearts, when you start following your heart, you hear your guides and angels very clearly on which direction you should go into. And when you start looking at situations and say, well, this was a good opportunity, this person's blocking it, the angels are saying, no, it's a good opportunity, but this person here is not the way. It's the idea of opening up your... All I can sit here and say, I've had so many things happen in my life where I sit here and say, okay, I think this person's doing that. Then I sit down one day and say, you know something? This person who threw me out in the streets, angels, what direction should I go in? What should I do here? I think what happened here is I'm not listening to you, to my heart, what I really want to do here. I'm trying to sit there and I'm listening to the world. The world says, this is how things are, this is what I got to do. I was reading Doreen Virtue's book. She was in school, okay? She had a teacher who told her she would never get a job as a psychotherapist until she graduated. She went out and said, you know something? She's going to use motivation on each one of these situations when people do these things to find the solution. Since this person's not going to allow that to happen, then there has to be a solution because this is not the way. If it was, I'd already be there. So she sat there and went out and proved this teacher wrong. She had a job at a hospital as a psychotherapist 4 months before she graduated. So it was like opening and realizing that this is just one avenue for completion of this particular thing, this particular goal. And to realize, it's like money. Money, everybody thinks you got to have a job to get money. I've had so much money drop in my lap, well, people just walk up and give it to me. And people think, oh, that's crazy. Is it really? I wasn't working for charity either. I was just sitting here talking and saying, hey, you know something? Hey, you just got a scratch off. You just won $10. I'd love to have $10. And the guy hands me $10 and walks out the door. Okay? So, see, when these little things happen, it's showing you that there is more avenues to get that abundance of money. It's just that your thoughts are limiting that and saying, I have to have a job in the world. Because sometimes it's just like your friends and family. It's how the world dictates and says, you can't have these things unless you're willing to do what we say you're going to do. And then you got to sit there and say, no. And the angels will even say that to you, too. There's other ways of getting these things around because humans have a tendency to like those limitations, so they like the attention. I'm just saying with the situation, I've done it so many times. One time I really serious sales in Colorado, and I was with this lady. I thought the solution was with her. And it was one of those things where she was part of the solution because she was the avenue that got me to Colorado, which didn't cost me a dime. She actually came and got me. I was living in Wisconsin. She was a client of mine to a psychic company I was working for. And she called me one day, and I was a week before that, I said, I'd love to live in Colorado. And then she called me about a week later and said she wanted to get a reading from me. And then she wanted to talk about something afterwards. And I said, okay, no problem. So I did a reading for her. And then afterwards, she asked me if I'd come to Colorado and work for her because she thought I had a great voice for the kind of work she does. And I was like, okay, sure. And see, in the Bible, it says, you have not because you ask not. And that just that one statement is the idea of asking for everything, and I do. So I'm like, okay. So I told her flat out, I have no money for travel. I need a place to live. You're giving me a job. So therefore, if you can solve those other things, I'd be glad to come to Colorado. And in 20 minutes, she did. She called me back, and she said, I'm coming to get you. You're going to live in our basement. And it was a $300,000 home. So the basement was, it was lower part, but it was far from being anything but, you know, luxurious. And I remember being with those people for a long time. I actually took on a job with her, too, as an OPAR. You know what an OPAR is?
No.
An OPAR is a person who actually takes care of the kids, and it's like babysitter, housekeeper. And by doing that job with her, I was actually living with her. And then they moved up to a $500,000 home where all these things were great. And people thought it was kind of crazy when I basically walked away from the whole thing. But it was the ideal that it was a solution for her to get what she wanted, but it came to a point where it wasn't a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. You got these situations where they're not win-win situations. Somebody's winning. Somebody's getting something.
Just not me.
It's not yours. So what you do in the process of manifestation is the ideal, if you don't already have a journal, is the ideal of start writing these things out in the way you want it to happen. You know, I used to have in my journal basically say thank you. You know, thank you, God and angels, for this happening. Or I'm so happy and grateful now that this has happened. And just start turning things around. The one thing I loved about Colorado was...
I could create a vision board, you know, because I'm trying to attract, you know, my dream career. And this is, like, really the path that I strongly feel is for me. But there's so many obstacles. People were, like, against me. And I'm not saying this, like, you know, in a paranoia kind of way, but they're literally, you know, sabotaging my career. So I was wondering if my spirit guides or the angels have any messages for me regarding the situation, because I really want to get out this, you know, get through this negativity so I can move on with life. Because right now my life has come to a complete stop because of all these negativity. They've come together, and now there is a black hole that's created.
No, the thing I was talking about.
Fucking life out of me right now.
Okay, what they're saying to me is basically you got the vision board and everything is laid in place. What they're saying is, in the idea of manifestation, I pulled this thing out of my book. And I use this all the time, too. I sit and look at the situation. I look at life like this. I look at the radio show. I look at the queue and the chat room being full. Okay? I look at people making donations. You know? I see all these things in my mind. As a visualizations for the manifestation. I take it one step further. I just saw a girl I want to get back with. I just saw a vision where we're sitting there. And sometimes you got to look at the situations of adjusting your visions. And I was trying to take the visions, okay, and try to see myself doing these things, all right? What you need to do is change that format of visualization to put yourself in the situation. So you'll be seeing it out your eyes. So therefore, you have a certain kind of career. What you do is you see yourself doing this through your eyes. So all the places you want to, you know, be at, or like you have a certain kind of office you want to do, you don't see yourself in the office. You see the office through your eyes. And what I do is I look at the situation of the show. Through my eyes, I see at least 10 or 12 people in the queue. I see 10 or 12 people in the chat room. I'll see 10 or 12 people donating to the show. And I actually see them physically doing these things. And the same thing with a girlfriend. I had a visualization, to give you an example, where I'm sitting here. I visualized her in this meditational attire that she usually wears, and her sitting there, and me sitting across from her, looking at her in a very loving, caring way. Then I walk up to her after we're done meditating, and I help her up. And when I helped her up, she was pregnant. Now, she wasn't just pregnant. I could see the skin of her belly. I could see her belly with, you know, almost like you feel the skin. I could feel the warmth of her hand. I could feel the softness of her hair. I could feel the energy of her eyes as she stared at me in a loving way as we sit and hugged and embraced. You see what I'm saying? You do this with these other visualizations as well. And in the process of focusing on just these visions, okay, I also do the same with business, because people say, well, you're just focused on the show and that kind of stuff. No, I'm focusing on Keen as my phone ringing off the hook, me picking the phone up and talking to people and doing 20 and 30-minute readings. Another company I work for, Orandom. So I picture myself on Orandom. As I go in there, we have a little free chat room, too, where the chat room's full, and people are one at a time are taking me in to do private readings, one after another. Success, success, success. And then after I visualize these things, I will say this. This or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concern. This it says, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concern. So see, this is basically what it's saying. It's a scenario. There'll be a win-win situation, but you're also opening all the doors for whatever presents itself. It's the ideal that, and the visualization I'm telling you, that's the outcome. Success to me is the ideal of not just doing the readings, not just being with my girlfriend or picking her up off the ground. It's the ideal of the feelings, the embracing, the connection, what's going on in the scenarios as I'm actually doing those things, which I want to do those things. And same thing with the readings. I'll sit and watch the readings as I'm, especially on a random, they have a little thing where all these little speakers pop in when the people take you to private. On your screen, everything just changes real quick from the free chat into this private session where you got speakers and headphones and da-da-da-da-da. So I picture those happening all the time. So in the process of doing those, I also picture, along with the picture, I will sit there and ask myself, how would I feel if those were happening? What would I do? And then I do that too. So I'm sitting here, what would you do if you were sitting there helping your girlfriend and you found she was pregnant? You'd have a smile on your face and you'd just embrace her in a loving embrace, and then just that's what your life was. Happy, joyous, great future together, looking forward to it. And the same thing with the situation of anticipation, looking forward to doing readings and helping and working with people, same thing with the situation. And then this here, I just felt like this was the thing here. This or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concern. So when those people come into my life, you don't have to question it.
Right now I'm in a really dark period where there's just no support, nobody around me, you know, who can help me get through this dark period. So I was just wondering if you know when this is going to pass.
The angels are saying to you right now that it's not in a sense the way of saying you're lying to yourself, but they're saying there is so much around you as in support that would probably be more beneficial for you anyway than the people around you to help you get out of this period that you're in, to get to a part in your life where it's okay. The angels are saying that. It's like this. It's like what I say around myself. You see angels in a circle around you. You see archangels around you. You see the ascended masters. You see angels of all kinds around you, even with the focusing within yourself. That's why I was recommending this book, Angel Energy. Because it actually focuses on the 22 angels, and there's actually two books together. One's called The Angels Within Us, where it actually goes and each one of the, it actually has a chapter for each one of those angels, and it helps you understand how they work. And if things are not working in your life, there's probably a block with each one of those gates, so those angels can't do what they're supposed to do. And what we knew that is the patterns that you have in your subconscious mind. The angels can only work through that pattern that you have, and it's the idea of looking within yourself and working with those angels to find out not just how to change those patterns, but what created them in the first place, so they won't be coming back anytime soon.
I have a lot of spiritual support, but you know, when is everything going to just
here?
Where I'm going to move on to the next phase? Because I am just beginning to lose faith.
Yes, because you look at the situation. We're talking at the end of the day. We're looking at situations and go, okay, by the end of this year, things are going to happen and change for you. That's a very strong upward sweep. That's what I get.
But is it in a positive way, or is it in a negative way? Is everything going to come
when I use the word swooping up, that is not a bad thing. And I also want to sit there and stress to people, when we get messages from angels, they're not going to sit here and say, well, you got a big old dark period coming. No, what they're going to do is they're going to try to help you get through that dark period if there is one coming up. And they're also going to tell you what's going to happen at the end, because for every dark period, there's always a light. And it's a situation of looking at things and going, okay, what's going to happen? It's the ideal what you're doing. It's the ideal when they start stressing to you, helping you understand what is around you. They're also there to protect you from what you're in at this moment. I always tell people in situations like you're talking about, with people who are just doing things, you have to look at the situation for what it is. It's people who, in some sense of the word, really are not doing what they want to do with their lives. And to see someone who's going to do that, they have a tendency to react and make decisions according to the way they made decisions, what's brought them to where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So to see someone break that chain and actually want to go up and do something it's beyond their perception. So therefore, they're going to do things. Because, first of all, they think they're protecting you. They think they're doing it for your best good. They think it's in your best interest. They think this is the path you should go. That's because of their perception is what brought them to where they're at. That's what we were saying before about people not attacking you, not doing things to you. It's just the idea of manifesting. It's the idea of looking at manifestation as the idea of manifesting your fears into reality, as into people around you and doing things to you, as what you think. It's just a reflection telling you these things are within you too, as in fears of yourself, almost like fear of failure. Like, when you look at the people who are trying to knock you down, that kind of stuff, and more likely you can trace it back to they've had failures. They've had certain things, and jealousy, and just all kinds of things that are going on. Which doesn't really make a difference to know those things. It's just the idea of realizing the idea of your own insecurities within yourself about also attracted these people to do exactly what they're doing. So the reflection is to go within yourself, connect with the 22 angels within yourself and all the angels and guides around you to help you get through this situation. And I always tell people in the situation of working through these things, and it's a really bad environment, then surround yourself with the divine white light of love and protection. Some people feel like, and I read this in Dorian Virtue's book where she was talking about the pink light. And I've done the pink light too, because it seems like it helps you see the people who are actually out for your best interest. So therefore you can swerve around the ones who are not. And most of the time, they won't even come near you in the first place when you start doing these things. But I guarantee you, I've seen so many positive results by people just changing their thinking and just looking at everything around them and saying, you know, these people ain't doing nothing to me. It's just going through a maze or going through weeds. And, you know, we don't look in our front yard and say, well, there's weeds in my front yard and they're out to get me. Well, some people do, but that's another story. I'm just saying, realistically, they're not. They're just weeds popping up in your grass. So the same thing with insecurities. They have things that pop up, but this is what we're talking about before. When you start to look at the books and they keep saying, look past the illusion, it's to realize that all the thinking and all the misperceptions that you've had have manifested today. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to change tomorrow so it's not like this. So you have to let go of these perceptions, these thoughts, these ways of way you've been doing things. And when you sit here and say that these people are trying to do these people are doing these things on purpose, I'm just saying that when you sit there and realize that they're not, it's almost like severing a cord. Because in the process of putting you in those positions, you have a certain feeling that they're used to, and they're feeding off.
Yes, you're right. You know, the people who are like in my life who are doing all these negative things to me, you know, I do see a small part of me in each one of them. But like, mm-hmm. I am, you know, happy to move on to the next phase of my life, because I cannot be stuck in this black hole anymore. Because, you know, the longer that I am here, the more desperate I'm going to become, and I just feel like the world is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
and I'm just saying, I want you to do one thing, because I really got to go on to some other callers. But the one thing I want you to do is to sit there and take a visualization. I don't care if you got to watch a Star Trek movie or what. To get the foundation for this visualization. But it's like a lot of movies have these things where, especially in Star Trek, going through wormholes. Which wormholes and black holes are pretty much the same thing. To have that visualization of taking yourself from the dark into the light as you're trying to move on to your next phase, and use that visualization to sit there, go through the wormhole to the other side.
Okay.
In the process of focusing on this visualization, notice how easy it is to go from one to the other, because that's how it is. To take that perception and change it that easily is just the ideal of letting down the resistance to change, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I want you to do me a favor, too. Please give me a call. I don't care if you got $5. If you gave a donation to the show, just give me a call. We'll do a reading. I want to take some time. But there's some personal things with you, too, as well. I would want to have, it's not the idea of the personal work. It could be any kind of sense of the word, something you don't want somebody to know. It's just the idea when you do a private reading, there's no pressure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just sit there and get
yeah.
it across and tell, yeah. I'm getting across enough. It's the idea of taking time. And I want to take time with you. So therefore, if you can think. Like, give me a call. You can call me after the show, okay?
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Let's see here. I was actually in the chat room for a minute. Trying to bounce around and kick some people in the head. Not really. I'm just kidding. But if you want to give a call in here, give us a call at 646-721-9031. We got 48 minutes left in the show and 37 seconds. It's actually October 17th, 2011. Welcome to the show if you just tuned in. And this is Psychic X Journeyman. And this is Psychic X Journeyman. It's actually called Psychic X Journeyman's Spiritual Link Talk Show, your own Blog Talk Radio. So welcome. If you just tuned in too, like I said, I just told the last day, you know, give me a call for a private session. And if you want to get a private session with me too as well, give me a call at 740-500-8863. Again, that number is 740-500-8863. If you're in the chat room, I mean, if you're not, I urge you to go in the chat room because we actually put the information in there periodically so that you will definitely have the information and you can get it down. And if you also, if you just want to contact me through my website, that's easier for you. I can give you a call. Go to www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com and go to the information page and just leave me a message and your phone number and the information to get back with you and be glad to do that for you. And right now, and the idea of asking for donations, we really appreciate it. Especially at this time, with some of the things we're going on here, with the idea of having to be out of here tomorrow, and some things are going on, so I was just like focusing and saying, hey, help me get home. I think it's time to go home for sure. Put me in a situation, in a space that I belong in, so therefore things can happen a whole lot more calmer, a whole lot relaxed, and a whole lot more into place. And help support the show. I like doing the two-hour shows, and I'd like to go and move it up one more notch and maybe do a couple 3-hour shows a week. So if you want to help out, please do and donate to the show. All you have to do is go to the website, www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. There's a donation button there. I would definitely appreciate it, as I do all donations. And for all the people who have donated to the show, I appreciate it and thank you. And let's go on to our next caller. And this senior area goes 860. Oh. You pushed the button, but it didn't do anything. There we go. But area code 860. Welcome to the show, and how are you? And welcome. What's your name?
My name is Tracy.
Where are you calling from, Tracy?
I'm calling from Connecticut.
Connecticut. I was in Hartford for a minute.
Oh, that's a good thing. You wouldn't want to be there any longer than that.
It was beautiful because it snowed, and everybody says that it's great when it snows because it covers up the ugliness.
Yeah, for sure. Thank God for snow.
I was also in a place called, it was in Massachusetts, called Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
I actually lived there for a while, and it is amazing. Some of the people out there, I do relationship counseling. The one thing I tell people all the time is, I don't go on the internet and go through dating services because I think it's more of a pain in the ass. And some of the people you meet on those things, they all seem like they're eager and anticipation and they want to meet somebody. But shoot, every time I've gotten any kind of situation, I was like, for example, I went to Pittsburgh to meet someone, got there, and it was just almost like expectations or certain things that they want. The one thing I've always gotten, and I've done this, and maybe that's why I don't do it anymore, because I've done it like 5 or 6 times where I've actually, I follow through with exactly what I said I'm going to do. And when someone says, hey, just meet up and could you please travel here because I don't feel secure traveling there. Okay, no problem. I'm on a bus, plane, train, whatever it is. And it's every time I show up, somebody goes, wow, you're just like you are on the phone. And I'm like, okay, that was a weird comment. I'm exactly the way I am on the phone. I say, well, is I supposed to be something totally different or what? Because I'm not. I tell people all the time, you come and talk to me. Because what was it? One particular lady I went to go see, it was a freaky situation, too. I'm not trying to sit here and go on the whole thing. I'm just hoping people understand that, like, when I sit here and talk about certain things, I know for a fact other people have gone through the same thing, just trying to give them some kind of understanding that sometimes when situations happen, why did it happen like that, you know? This one particular situation I was in was 4 hours. I went to go see her, which took me almost 2 days to get there. And then when I got there, it was a four-hour done deal. It was over in 4 hours. And people
Wow.
were looking at me. Yeah, people were looking at me going, okay, what happened? I said, the exact story was I went out. We went there. She picked me at the bus station. She even had food for me. I'm thinking, this is pretty good. You know, she asked me what I wanted. I told her. She got it. And so we went out, went down by the Mississippi River, and it was a full moon. Great, you know, it was a great date, right? Everything was going great. We're sitting there holding hands, and she's like, you know, I'm a little bit overweight. I said, never noticed. You're a beautiful woman. And so I was trying to, you know, always try to focus and really see the person. The out extremities, you know, there's some things we consider and say are important or not important, but the ideal, what we really fall in love with is the essence of who a person is. That's what's really there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one thing I always want to sit here and stress to everybody. You know, I don't understand. I'm usually not physically attracted to people like this.
Hmm.
Well, didn't you just say, like I'm a relationship counselor, I said, didn't you ask for something you want different people, you want a different person to go out with, even to the point of asking for the one, and it doesn't go and it doesn't match any pattern you've already been through? Makes perfect sense to me since you don't want to go there again, and now you have something totally different. It's the ideal that when we say follow your heart, when you get in these situations and you follow your heart, then you see the Spirit of God within these people, the essence of who they are, so therefore you understand what's going on with the attraction of being brought together. It's not a physical thing. And because some people are together for a minute, and then the physical comes a little bit later, and they don't understand that, which is actually normal. It's the ideal. Getting used to the physical, it's after you already connected with the spiritual, the essence of that person. And then you connect with the physical because you want to express the love that you have for each other. You see how it works?
Mm-hmm.
So I sit here and told this lady. we went home. We went back to her house. She goes to her bedroom. I follow her, okay, not thinking anything's up. She has a big old German Shepherd. The German Shepherd basically loved me to death. She looks at me and she's like, oh, that's not good. I said, okay, what's the problem? She goes, my dog likes you, so therefore who's going to protect me? Protect you from what? She goes, well, you. I said, why would you need protection? I said, dog is a pretty good judge of character, don't you think? And she's like, maybe so, but this ain't going to work. And she really fed into the fear. Next thing I know, she dropped me off at a freaking homeless shelter.
Wow.
So I sat there and told her, I said, do not contact me, do not talk to me, don't do anything with me. I said, I have a bad habit. When I'm done, I'm done. Nobody drops me off at a homeless shelter because they won't want to deal with their fears. And I said, that dog loved me to death. And that could have been such one of the, I could have been, and people think it's being arrogant when you look at someone and say, this could have been the best relationship you've ever had. But you're going to let your fears stand away and blow it. And she's like, well, see, you're arrogant too. I'm like, no, just confident because I know who I am. Obviously, you don't. Because you're looking for somebody else who's going to sit there and feel that little spot inside you. It doesn't work that way. That's your responsibility, to sit there and make yourself happy. And then you go find someone else that you get in a state of happiness to be happy with. That's what attracts people together, is the idea of being happy and loving and being unconditionally as who you really are. When you start being phony, those are the people who are having trouble finding people.
Yeah.
And people look at me and say, what do you mean by being phony? I say, well, you know, the makeup, the hair, the wigs, and this one lady said this on a reading. I feel so funny. She's like, how do you know I wear a wig? Then you call 1-800-PSYCHIC, you know. But or
yeah.
Did you call a psychic show that said, we do free readings? So So I was like, she goes, oh, yeah. Well, take the wig off. Maybe your brain needs to breathe. But I was sitting there telling her, I said, that's not a judgmental call either. It's like looking at someone going, you need to open up yourself and breathe and really see things for what they are. So that was a crazy situation, but the idea of looking at dating and that kind of stuff, we're always looking. When we should be thinking about the idea, when we sit here and say, I'm trying to attract someone into my life. So it was the attraction part. You're chasing after it.
Yeah.
So drop back a minute and ask yourself, exactly what are you doing at this moment? Are you chasing or are you allowing? Because it's one of the things that was taught with the angels, is have the angels work with you, not to do, but to be done on, as work with me, change me. And not, you know, I wish I could find out where I saw that.
You know, this is interesting. I haven't even asked my question yet, but you're sort of answering it. I mean, what you're saying, you've answered a lot of things that I was going to ask about, so I guess you are intuitive.
Oh, yeah. Like I said before, not to work on, but to be worked upon.
Yeah.
Not to pursue, but to be pursued.
Yeah.
Let me say this one thing real quick. Okay, I promise we'll get your question. We got 38 minutes, and if we don't, I'll stick around until we do.
Okay.
I promise you.
All
right. It's just the idea in this situation of going, okay, we're looking at things going here. When I was talking about love in itself, when I was sitting here looking at the situation where it says, today I send love to this world. And I call everyone my friend, regardless of who they are or what they've done. So you're sending love out to the world. And when you do that, it just really just blows you away when you sit here and do that unconditionally, exactly what's going to happen, what's going to change. And I was sitting here looking at this one part in this one book when they were talking about this one little part right here, which it's talking about the angels and how they work with you in the process of what we're listening, what we're supposed to be being quiet and being still and listening to. Well, this one here came through was just basically saying, instead of trying to find out more about yourself, spend more time discerning the truth of God. Okay? And then it goes on to say, spend more time I have to take a deep breath because the energy is really kicking me right now. But
okay.
It says, spend more time discerning the truth about God. This is what know thyself really means. It's
yeah.
The idea of connecting with that God essence within you and realizing
mm-hmm.
you are always one and the same. And it says, as you know the truth of God, it is the God self within knowing the truth about itself. When you speak the word of God, it is the God self in you speaking the word, and nothing can stand in its way. God self, your I am, has never condemned itself. And I'm hoping this lady was listening earlier hears this too, because it's saying, you know, God self, your I am, has never condemned itself. So there is no condemnation in you. The God self, I am, has nothing to forgive itself for. So there is no resentment in you or directed towards you. God self, the I am, is eternal wholeness and maintains itself for its own completeness. So there is nothing to heal. The only identity you have is God. There is no mortal mind. There is only one mind. Therefore, there is no mind to treat. All that God self is an external manifestation of all that is good. So there is no duality to demonstrate over. Only presence is. Affirming does not make it so. Evil is not, so there is nothing to be taken away through denial. There is no separation between you and God, for that would mean that there is something other than I am. There is not. The sense of separation is from the head, which has been sleeping. The truth is from the heart, which is awake and is the throne of God's self, I am. With that one statement, it's telling you that the heart has always been open. It's the mind that closes and opens back and forth. The heart has always been open. And it says, surrender to the heart, to spirit, to truth, giving to the one reality that which you thought was personality. Basically, it's saying reality of the personality is something you've always known. This surrender takes you into the stream of love where your thought processes will be anchored. That means the confusion will be gone. You'll know. You will think from the heart, from feelings of love, and the head will awaken with spiritual illumination. Not only will you feel and think truth, you will also see it. You will look through spiritual eyes and see only that which is real. And then you'll hear God speaking. God, it's like looking at a situation like you. Can you not hear God speaking to you now, asking you to drop the idea of mortal self and let the supreme presence be the one self? Say yes and look to your heart and feel the love, light, and joy, the very kingdom, power, and glory. Yes. It's like in the idea in the Bible, when they say, you know, seek the kingdom of God. In the process of looking at the situation, also it says in the Bible, too, that your body is a temple. So you're going to start realizing all this stuff that's been pointed out to you is the idea of, to make you look within yourself, to understand exactly who you are and what you're capable of. Because it was center time of the day where it's talking about, some guy was talking about Jesus has more power than we do. Which, in some sense of the word, when you look in the Bible and you see the part about Jesus, when he's talking about us, he's also talking about the great works we're going to do. So you kind of look at sometimes the situations and say, okay, isn't that kind of a contradicting statement in some sense of the word of a person who hasn't really come into their own power? And that's what we're saying with the situation and what you want to really seek in life is the idea of looking at the Bible in some sense. You know, it's like, read it yourself. And when I tell people that is the idea, like I do, just as I've had a tendency where I just let books and things fall open. And it's kind of amazing when you read it. It's kind of amazing. It's whatever's going on. It's like, what's your number? I was going to look it up. Of your area code, 860. And I had a people center saying, well, that was my old phone number. I said, don't be surprised. But the reason right now, if you learn how to live in the now, right this minute, right this second, you'll realize that we're going to go find out what the number means. So therefore, it does have something to do with you. Because we're doing it right this minute. We did a show, what was it? On the Sunday show and the Saturday show, we were talking about understanding signs and saying, okay, when a sign happens, it's happening right then and there. So if, say, your girlfriend or your boyfriend calls you up and says, I got this horoscope, I think it's really you, and they read it to you. It's just not for you. It's also for him, too, because he's the one that found it and brought it to your attention. But he's also reading it, too, so it's crossing his path. So that's how a sign works. They're all happening simultaneously, especially within relationships. It's the idea of paying attention to all those things that happen, because it's just going to help you understand. And I always tell people, when you sit here and listen, you know, when you listen to a person or a situation, or you're asking, does a person like you or doesn't like you, listen to yourself when you say it. How does it resonate within your heart? Does it glow? Do you feel the power? Do you feel a vibration rising? What is it? You know, these signs will help you understand, okay, does this guy love me? Do you feel it?
Yeah.
More likely, if you say it and you're asking the question to yourself and you feel a resonance within your heart, the answer is yes. See how easy it is to sit here and go, okay, the term is, I'm always second-guessing myself.
Yep.
Well, stop second-guessing yourself. Go with the first one.
Mm.
Okay. I'm looking at
yeah.
I'm looking
go
at
ahead.
860.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at 860 is give any financial fears to God who is ensuring that your needs are met. I also want to read here to 861. Instead of worrying about money, pray. Worry attracts problems, while prayers
okay.
attract solutions. Let's read 862, too. I'm just saying, I just go with the flow on these things. Let's compel to do this, right? Trust that all your financial and material needs are taken care of because they are.
Oh, good.
Send a master that heard and answer your prayers for material and financial support. Give them any cares or worries and follow your divine guidance, which comes to you as thoughts, feelings, or ideals to take positive action steps.
Interesting.
So,
now the what you read to me, what where did that come from? What book?
That'll cost you $5.
Oh, okay.
Well,
oh.
See, you look at the. I always look at the situations of finances, and really look at the situation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people we had this thing on the show, and I wanted to sit there and read it because people come in the room, and actually when I work on Oranum, that's spelled Oranum.com. It's a great site to go check out, people, because you can actually not just call somebody up. You can also sit in the chat room and see them face to face, if you
what
choose, or you can just see them. You can see me as we're sitting there talking and stuff. It's called Oranum. Oranum. Here. Are you in the chat room?
No, I'm not. I'm concentrating on you. I mean, talking. I have your information that I got from the chat room, though.
Okay, no problem, man. I'm just saying, go on a random. I should put that on my website. I think it's on there. I think I'll have to check. But a random is something new I just started trying, where you actually get to see the psychic you're working with and that kind of stuff. And it's a different kind of format. But see, I was on there and it's like certain things happen and that kind of thing, and you just want to go with the flow and everything. But it's amazing how certain things come into that room. Now things kind of resonate where you just kind of hit people in certain ways. And I have a tough time not giving out information on there too. Which I don't know if we're supposed to or not, but I haven't gotten in trouble since then, so I just keep going. So it's one of those things where as I'm talking on random, what I do is I say, I have this radio show, and I say, I want to tell these people I have a radio show, because I actually advertise for a random on the show, tell them I work there, and that they should try it out. And if you're like me, there's many, many psychics on there, but I can't see why you wouldn't. But and people keep saying on my chat room, it's one of the most positive, happy rooms, because I actually play music. We play rock music and all kinds of things. We just have a great time. But the information on, okay. Where was it going with that? Oh, the book.
I don't know. We're you're on tangents, but you're making perfect sense. And I'm certainly listening. And
I just feel like it's one of those things. All kinds of, what I was trying to say was people are looking at finances and money and those kind of things. But I think it's one of those things of looking at situations, like people come in the room and say they have no money to get a reading. And you're like, okay, that's great. But in the situations of life, I think the more respectful you are of people and their professions and what they do,
mm-hmm.
I think you can only be blessed yourself in the process of actually being in an opportunity to be able to take advantage of those services.
Well, money is, it's an exchange of energy, you know? And, you need to honor that. And that's all money is. It's an exchange of energy.
Oh, that's what it was. It was people talking about in the room. They came in the room and started talking about, in the Bible it says, in this one section, Matthew 7, I think it's 7:19. It says, the person said this anyway, I'll clear it for you. It says in the Bible, what this person's perception was, that it says, psychics, beware of psychics in sheep's clothing, because they're actually ravaging wolves. And I said, for some reason I was working on random, and I said, okay guys, we're going to take like a 20-minute break. I got to go check this out. So they also said, I think it was Leviathan, I think it is. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But that's in the old chapter, where it says that beware of psychics who are spirits, and something else. I can't remember the whole thing. But when I went to check these things, first of all, the ones in the old chapter says, in the Old Testament says, it doesn't say psychics, it says wizards.
Hmm.
Wizards and things like that.
Oh, really? So it doesn't say psychic. I always wonder. It actually says wizards?
Right. So now with the Matthew 7:19, where it says, beware of psychics in sheep's clothing, because they're actually ravaging wolves, it says false prophets. Doesn't say psychics.
Oh.
So, I was there talking to people, and I said, we're not trying to get mean or nothing. We're just like, okay, don't tell us that we can't, that the people shouldn't take the words in the Bible and take them out of context. And on the same thing, you have a tendency to do it to get your point across. Or, because I also read one section of the Bible that says, too, that you can go and do what you got to do and tell people about the Word of God and the whole thing that goes along with it, as long as you don't do it in a judging way. So therefore, you're coming there and you're judging somebody. So your life sucks, man. You are a bad person. You're evil. You're this and the other. Basically, what they're doing is they're also going against the Word of God, too, at that moment, too, as well. In the process of saying, well, hey, you know something? You're the devil, and you're hanging with demons and that kind of stuff. That's a judgmental thing. Because really, realistically, in the situation we're talking about, what facts would they have? I could ask them to come on my show and said that I was working with the wrong kind of spirits and that kind of stuff, and said basically just started being very judgmental because of where you come from. And he said, well, this is what things was holding. And I told him flat out, this is my opinion about the whole thing. If God sent a message to you, I think it would have done it a different way instead of attacking me on my show. Because I told the guy flat out, I said, so I'm sitting here saying we really push the thing where we're talking about God is the source, the substance, your supply. And you're sitting there saying, I'm getting the message from the wrong people or the wrong spirits. I'm sort of going, I can't imagine that the devil would want to pass on that kind of message. That one.
Exactly.
Me as well.
Wow.
So, you know, we just sit here and look at the situation of all the things that are happening out here and this and the other that I think we have to be aware of. Because I'm honestly, if someone attacks you in any kind of shape or form, it's a judgmental thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a section in the Bible where it says that, yes, go, you know, basically preach and talk and do your little thing, just as long as it's not done in a judging way and it doesn't infringe on someone's free will.
Hmm.
And I've started looking at so many people in the situation that certain things are going to people and saying, okay, I think you should do this. Even the courts, I mean, to impose counseling on somebody who's not ready for it, that's infringing on someone's free will. They have to come to a point in their life till they realize they need it. Because if you send them there, I guarantee all they're going to do is do the time. I'll go to the classes, I'll sit in the chair, da-da-da-da, say, hey, hi, I'm an alcoholic, I'm out of here. You know, it's not going to benefit anything. It's actually making someone feel like they're doing something. But we know for a fact in life that nothing is done unless we do go within ourselves to change the outside. So if you want to change the world, change yourself. If you want to change your life, change your thinking. So what was your question?
Exactly, no. Okay, I guess I'm like new to the dating world. And you were touching on dating and stuff. That's why I said you're sort of answering part of my question, but our relationships. And I'm new to the dating world. And I don't know, do you have any information for me? I need help here.
In the process of looking for the one.
Yes.
You stop looking.
Okay.
You always stop looking. See, right now I'm in a situation where I'm just really trying to open up a lot of things and let whatever happens happen. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and I have been doing this for a long, long time, doing this kind of work, giving out just that advice. And it's one of those things that when you sit and look at the situation of all the things that are falling into place, the reason I was sort of looking at dating in the first place on the internet is because I feel like it's one of those things that was a good idea that's just been blown out of proportion and exploited and all kinds of stuff. I was giving an example real quickly. I was on 3 dating sites on the internet. And one particular one, which everybody recommended, I got a hold of 3 girls, talked to them, and the next thing you know, they're asking for money.
Wow.
They're telling me. They're also in, where is that place called? Over in Africa. It was kind of crazy, too, because one girl was actually a model. One girl said she was over there with her mother. And there was another girl, she might have been legit, but she told me flat out that she wanted to get to know me, but it had to be over the internet. And then she would decide later on if it would happen in person or not. Now, this is a person dealing with fears, but that's why that one's not good, because she's not admitting that. She's trying to control the whole thing. And in the matter of controlling, we consider, well, that's bad. It's a controlling person. But we want to take it deeper than that now and ask yourself, why is she controlling? If you want to go that route and take it out and check it out, but realize one thing, you know, people are people. They're feeling, loving, caring people. It's just the idea when they do certain actions. Those are just actions, and more likely the actions covering who they really are. See, you know, sometimes situations that needs to be understood too as well, caring and loving people, and that actually having that attitude of unconditionally loving people is to realize, okay, it's just not for you. Who cares who they are or who they're not? It's just the idea of realizing at that moment it's not for you. And the one girl, it was the same scenario. My father got killed, and my father died, and then I came to, what's the name of that freaking place in Africa? Anyway, the girl got there. Her mother was killed in a car accident after being there for two weeks or something. And I'm like, why do I keep hearing this stupid story? Can't you? I mean, if you guys are going to do this kind of stuff, at least compare stories before you start telling everybody.
So they were the same ones?
Yeah. So the other girl said she was over there. She was modeling and doing her little thing. But there was always excuses. or there was, I'll give you one. I was on this one site, pretty explicit. And this girl, she sent me this picture where she's totally naked, doing a, what do you call that? She's doing a split. And she's on the bed. So she start naked. She got her legs full, you know, like up there, like McDonald's. Like yards of McDonald's, and I was like, okay, I went back there, and this is what I do. I don't care what anybody says. They think it's a little too forward. It's not. It's how it's done. You know, so I'm a relationship counselor. I'm telling you right now that it has to go from meeting each other through a text or whatever for the service, and then it's a phone call. And then from that phone call, you go to meeting each other. And I always recommend if it's something that was good on the phone, it should be done in person in at least, if it can be possible, between 2 to 3 days, not 2 or 3 months. And people are like, well, that's getting a little pushy. Then you need to deal with yourself because you got some fears. Because relationships are relationships. And if you hold them back and you don't give them all 100% commitment, you're never really going to know if it's going to go anywhere, and you're really not going to know that person. Because I guarantee you, on the other side of the whole thing, the energy is being exchanged. They'll be doing the same thing. They'll be holding back. So it works against you in the same sense of the word. So if you're going to do it, then do it. Not get the hell off. Okay?
I went through that where I didn't want to, I tried to hold back because when you jump in head first, you know, your brain releases chemicals, and when it ends, you actually go through physical withdrawal. So mm-hmm. my approach now is just to, you know, if I'm in a relationship or seeking one, to try to do it with less attachment.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do anyway.
Yeah, but if you're jumping in and going, you know, committing fully in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm just saying commitment to me is just the idea of committing to the full act of what's going to happen. It's not the idea, because commitment is the difference between commitment and attaching. But if you're attaching someone to somebody, there's a lot of expectations on that based on fear. If you go into it, well, I want to commit myself and loving this person unconditionally,
mm-hmm.
then you're, it can, you know, there's different variations and that kind of stuff. But what I'm saying is, what my situation was, someone would contact me, I would send right back, here's my phone number, let's talk. And this one lady who actually started naked on the bed and was doing this spread eagle thing, she writes back and says, I would like to take this slow. I'd like to get to know each other on here, okay? And I'm sitting there going, wrong answer. Next one, and I went on to the next one. People are like, well, why don't you give her a chance? I said, first of all, it's a contradiction. And she's like, what? Excuse me. She goes, how's it a contradiction? She's totally naked on the bed. I think we're past the idea of, you know, taking it slow, don't you think? And so we couldn't look at the situation. I said, to me personally, I said, this is what I saw with the dating services on the man's side, okay? I sit there and joined that one dating service. I had all these emails coming to me before I joined. But do you know, after I joined, I got one, I think. And I was like, well, so what happened to all these freaking girls that were caught, you know, emailing me before? Now they're not. And that's the way it was. And people like eHarmony. eHarmony is a great service if you're willing to put the money out. I'm just saying, with the situation before you start going these routes, the only way you're ever going to get any kind of anything out of these situations is to spend money. And you have to sit and look at the services. Okay, they're providing a service. That's great. But what the situation is, how they approach it. I mean, like this one particular one, you don't get to see nothing. You get to see a name and a location. You don't get to see a picture. You don't see nothing unless you pay some money. Okay? The reason I have a problem with these things is because dating's not like that. People will sit there and say, well, you take people out. You go to dinner. Yeah, but see, the things that happen in the context of going out to dinner are priceless because they don't cost you anything. They happen because of the connection and what happens between two people. And yes, we have chemical things that happen within our brains and that kind of stuff. I'm not disputing that. But I also want to sit here and say, everybody, it's a spiritual being in a human body. So therefore, you have control over everything that happens. So therefore, to realize the kind of power that you have, you need to utilize it and say, okay, this is what's going to happen in the situation. So I make a point of doing what this is what I'm going to do. And I don't go against anything that goes against me because I'm not getting the right result. I look at the situation, the person or situation, and say, okay, if it doesn't fit my personality, if it doesn't fit how I do things, then it's not for me. There has to be another solution. There has to be another way. There has to be an easier way. That's my favorite saying. There has to be an easier way. And the reason I use that one a lot is because in the process of using that one little saying, I have seen situations, like one particular situation, we had a flat tire. No spare tire. I only had $20 in my pocket. We're all sitting here talking up in our heads right now. Tire, rim, someone put it on the freaking tire. How to get it there, it's on the highway. So we start racking all this freaking money up, right? So what I did was I said, forget that. There has to be an easier way. I get out of the van. I walk back to a freaking carryout, ask the people there, is there any way you can help me? In the process of talking to these ladies, you know, this guy come out of nowhere. This old little dude come out of nowhere and said, what size tire is it? I told him what size tire it was. He said, I think I have that in my barn. So he goes off. I'm going to go see what I can do. So we said, okay, no problem. So we're sitting here talking to the people about behind the counter, this carryout. Well, 20 minutes later, this guy comes back and looks at me in my face and goes, you're ready to go. And I was like, what do you mean I'm ready to go? He said, yeah. He said, I found a tire, but I also found the rim. I've already got it on your car. All you got to do is put a little air in it, and you're ready to go. So that's what I'm saying. When we simplify things and quit trying to make it so difficult, because that is what we call about, if you're listening to your friends and family, some people go, I don't listen to nobody. Are you listening to mass consciousness? They go, what do you mean by that? Well, for example, when you meet somebody and you get a phone number, you wait 2 days to call. I say, right that moment, you stop thinking for yourself. You stop listening to your heart, and you start listening to how the world goes and how things are supposed to be, not realizing each individual person, that's an individual life. So everything's an individual position and what way to go. So you look at the situation and go, what do I want to do? How do I want this to happen? How do I want things to go? I'll give you another example real quick. I was hitchhiking, and I sit here and put this thing to the letter on everything I do, okay? And when I don't, I definitely see the results of nothing. And when I put these things out here and start focusing on exactly what I want, I get it. So there's definitely a difference. And I like the difference of going to the letter, you know? So I was sitting here hitchhiking, and I wanted to get to this one place. Now, for some reason, I was sitting at this place, and these people were attacking me. They were mad at me because I wouldn't give them any money. It was a room I was renting. And that's when the economy was really bad. So the idea of trying to find jobs and work and just certain avenues and just certain things I couldn't do. So I was sitting there, and the lady came into my room, she took about everything. She took my weights, which was probably equivalent to $200, and just thought she could do these things because I owed her money for rent. And I was sitting there going over the whole thing, getting mad, and saying, well, you know, you're not allowed to do that. At that moment, something came over me and said, who gives a hoot? What she's allowed to do and what she's not allowed to do. That's not the important thing here. It's the idea. Where do you want to be at? Because this is definitely not a happy situation. So I was staring at the window. I took my bags, packed them, threw them out my freaking window, because this was all connected to the same thing. So when I left, I had to go by her. So I just threw them out the window. And it was just something there prompted me for like 3 days to do that. Just say to hell with everything, go out the door and go. I'm like, I really don't want to go hitchhiking. And it was like, but it's like 90 degrees outside. It's great. I'm sitting there going, but I don't want to do that. You know? And then all of a sudden, someone came over me and said, okay, stop trying to do it your way. And just let go and see what happens. Now, take your butt out the door. So I said, okay, no problem. So I threw my bags out the window, and I went out the hallway, said bye to her. I'm going to the store, which I never came back. I grabbed my bags. I guess I should have asked then. I need a ride to the freaking highway because it was only like 2 miles, but it was like the most longest 2 miles I've ever walked. But I got out to the freaking highway, and I said, okay, if this is what I'm supposed to do realistically, I heard the message already, but I just said, just give me one more sign. I feel like if this is what I'm supposed to do, then my first ride will be by somebody I already know, somebody I work with, something I would definitely know as a tangible sign, this is what I'm supposed to do, and this is the direction I'm supposed to go in. Do you know the very first ride I had was from a guy I used to work with 2 weeks prior to that? And I was like, okay, that's it. So we started hitchhiking. And when it's like talking about relationships. hitchhiking's the same thing. You ask for a ride, and when I sit here and say, okay, God, where are we going? I need a ride. I would sit here and specify. I like to have a nice long ride and this kind of thing. It's like you know the good ones. You know the bad ones. And there's going to be a lot of complications and stuff like that. But I would sit there, and it started off slowly, you know, getting rides from, you know, off-ramp to off-ramp. And then I just said one day, I would like to sit there and get a nice long ride where I could actually sit and relax for at least a couple hours. And my next ride was 150 miles, you know. And then I started looking at my freaking map and said, well, if I can make it to that road, make it to this highway, then it's like a straight shot to that. And I would sit there and focus on those, that thought. And sure enough, I would get a ride just like that. The one that really baffled me the most was I was in a section with a lot of people that I call rich people. They were coming by beeping at me, cussing me out, flipping me off. And I said, okay, God, I'm really tired. I'm tired of dealing with this. Bill, could you please get me out of here? I said, I'm tired. I've been up for 3 days. I've been up 2 days straight, no sleep, just keep going. And I was sitting there saying, this is crazy. All these people keep beeping at me, honking at me. And I just kind of said, okay, angels, archangels, ascended masters, I would love to have a ride right now to get out of here. A nice long one to get me to, I think it was London, Kentucky. And I was sitting there talking about how tired I was. I just happened to turn around, and there was this dude in a big tractor trailer beeping his horn at me. So I run up to this guy, and sitting there going, that was a good ride. So I get in this freaking tractor trailer, this guy, and the guy looks at me and goes, where are you headed to? I'm telling him where I was going to. He says, I'm not going there today. I'm going there tomorrow. I'm going straight to the truck stop, and I'm going to sleep before I go anywhere. So I mean, I can take you as far as you want to go. And then he looked at me and he said, well, if you want to go all the way up there, I'll definitely give you right there tomorrow. And you're more than welcome to sleep on the upper bunk of my freaking truck camper here. So I didn't get a ride. I also got a place to lay my head for the night and got some sleep. And sure enough, then we get to the truck stop. The guy that bought me dinner next day took me to London, Kentucky. And then I got another ride with this Spanish couple. They wouldn't speak in English. And I told them, I said, all you have to do is give me a ride to the state line. They go, but where are you really heading to? I'm trying to go up to 75 and hit 22. He said, well, we're not going that far, but we'll take you as far as we can go. Well, they must have changed their mind. Because I was sitting in the back seat doing this. God, it'd be great if these people would just be really nice and just give me a ride to 22. Do you know what they did? They gave me a ride to 22. They actually dropped me off on 22 on an off-ramp. And when I sit here and talk to people.
Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah, but the one thing I tell people to specify, why I say specify sometimes, because I was sitting there going, okay, we're on 22, and no, actually I got to the one ramp before we got to 22. They took me clear into Ohio, which they took me to, what was it? I think it was Cincinnati. That's what it was. The Spanish company took me to clear on the other side of Cincinnati and dropped me on an off-ramp when they wasn't even going that far. I get down there, I tell people specify. The reason I say specify is because when I was sitting there, I said, okay, God, I need to make it to 22. It's only like 3 or 4 miles to 22, so if you could just give me a nice ride to 22, it'd be great. See, I didn't really specify as in a nice person or whatever. Do you know at that moment the cops pulled up? This cop pulls up, and he says, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be walking on this little section because they dropped me off. We didn't know at the time, but they dropped me off it was more of an off-ramp at the wrong place where you're not supposed to be walking. I got a ticket for $65. I was sitting there going, and the guy says, well, I can give you a ride a couple of ramps. I'm not sure how far, but I'll give you a ride. Do you know he actually took me to 22? And I sit there, and I remember getting out of that car going, you know, some God, you could have got me that ride without a fine of $65. But, you know, it was one of those things, it was a lesson to learn to say, okay, what kind of ride do you want? And I guarantee you, after that whole point, I was very descriptive of exactly what I wanted. So I started skipping, hopping and stuff. And then to jump the story real quick is to look at what you can really accomplish. I sit there and said, okay, I've been hitchhiking, getting a couple of rides here and there and that kind of stuff, and things are just not kicking. They're getting there, and it was almost like a sign saying, yeah, they are. What do you want to do? So I got really specific and said, if you could give me a ride where this person could drop me off at my mom's back porch. I said, I don't know if I should be saying that. Can I really do that? And the voice came back and he said, yes, do that. So I said, okay, I want a ride. So this old dude pulls up, and he looks at me and it starts raining. And he said, well, I can't take you anywhere. And I'm like, I'm not really going anywhere. But he said, here's an umbrella. So I got an umbrella. Do you know that guy came back about a half hour later? And he said, I'm going up the road about a mile. I can give you a ride for a mile because I see you're still out here. Okay, thank you. So I get in the truck. And see, this is how miracles happen, right? I'm asking for the ride. I'm thinking this is not the guy. Well, what happened was he was the guy. He was going up the road about a mile, and he looked at me, and he's like, so how far is this Circleville place you're going? I said, probably about an hour. He said, an hour? He said, this is Sunday. I'm 72 years old. I ain't got nothing to do. Let's go to Circleville. He dropped me off on my mom's back porch. I even brought him in the house and introduced him to my mom. So the ideal, how can we change our lives? I think that's a pretty good example. It's some things you, because I tell people before, when they use the ideal, the analogy of hitchhiking. Hitchhiking goes like this. It's like when you ask for a ride and you have to have faith in the ideal, saying God, and you ride. Now, sometimes the ride comes in 5 minutes, sometimes it comes in 2 hours. You see what the whole thing's going on is the universe is trying to line it up in your best interest to give you the longest ride because you're trying to get somewhere, your agenda, your goal. And same thing with relationships and everything. You know, you got to be specific and really, you have to be in it. You have to be a part of it. If you're not willing to do those kind of things and just whatever happens, happens, because I guarantee you whatever happens, happens, was going to happen anyway. So you're going to sit there and be on the other side questioning it, or are you going to sit there and go along with the ride and say, hey, you know something? There were some good times and some bad times, but one thing is, it happened. And I just feel like with the situation with your life, I feel like there's something coming up in about a month, almost like a month and a half. It depends on you. And the reason I say it depends on you, it's the ideal in the process of just letting go and let God be God, let the universe do what it's going to do. I'm telling you, it's going to be one of those amazing things that's going to happen. Because, I mean, sometimes with situations, like, you should look at relationships like this. The last one I had, I would love to be with that woman right now. And also look at the situation and say, okay, is it something I could remember for the rest of my life if it was one of those things that didn't come back around? It's definitely one of those things I would definitely just want to preach and tell everybody. You see this? This is in the situation of looking at relationships, because this was a progressive relationship, because it went from, like, people talk about on the internet, it talks about and being, it started on a random. I met her on a random. We were talking in the chat room. And she basically, I felt someone had been watching me for a long time, about a week or 2 weeks. And I found out it was her. And then she came forward, and she said, I've been coming in your room and stuff like that, and I haven't really been saying anything. But she said, I'm very drawn to you. Okay, you're very drawn to me. That's great. I said, if you're really serious about really wanting to take this somewhere else and talk, but this is not really a good format to talk and get to know each other, because, you know, we're limited with what we can say and what we can't. And, you know, we do throw personal information out there from time to time, but I'm just saying, when you sit here and look at the situation, I said, if you're serious, I said, what you need to do, because on a random, my name on there is Psychic X Journey, because it didn't have enough on their browser or whatever it was to put man. So it says Psychic X Journey. So I told her flat out, that's it. Take Psychic X Journey, put man on the end of it. I have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio. And I said, if you can do that, I'd be glad to talk to you and get to know you better. I had one in 20 minutes. She found me. A lot of people haven't. She's the only person that's really took the agenda to do that. So I took it and look at the energy you got to put into that to even push yourself to do something like that. So we did. And then what I mean by progression is we started talking. I mean, I don't think we were talking more than an hour or two before she said, go talk to me on Yahoo. So we talked on Yahoo. Next thing we're talking on webcam. Next thing we're talking on Skype. Next thing we're talking to each other all the time, where it's just one progression after another to the point where we actually sit down and set a date where we're going to meet each other. And then, certain things like that. Mm-hmm. That's the way relationships are supposed to work. Now, this happened over the internet, over Skype and stuff like that. But the one thing about the whole situation was it was real. It was happening because there's two people here that are real. So therefore, what's happening between the two is real. It's happening. It's progressive. It's like two people saying, okay, I want this, this, and this, and this. And they follow through with it. That's how relationships work. If you're going to sit there and question, then you should look at the situation you're in. Because if good relationships are with good people, it's like looking at yourself. Am I happy and joyous and I feel great about myself? Then you're ready. You might still have some issues. We all have issues and we still deal with them day to day. Situations and kind of stuff like that. Maybe with relationships and things, But it's one of the things that put in perspective. Are you happy? You know, whatever happens, are you ready for it? Are you open for it? Whatever happens. And then just go from there. I mean, the one thing I was like trying to stress her, but I had one lady come on there who was talking about, I was working on Keen, and she was talking about they were going through the email phase. And I told her, and that's what we need. I think we need more people like me as friends in our lives who say, are you full of it? There is no such thing as an email phase. There's no such thing as a texting phase. There is no such thing as using texting and emails to talk to each other about issues. Either it gets done face-to-face, or there's no sense of doing it in the first place because the person's not ready to face it. If they was facing it, why would they put all the mechanical things between them? That's the point. You need to put it out there and say, life is life. Either live it or go to another planet. But if you're not going to sit there and do that, I mean, I hear people talk about it all the time. I don't want to get hurt. Well, get over it. Because on this planet, through pain and hurt and realization, we grow as a spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, come on. If you say you're the perfect guy, if you forget your birthday, it hurts your feelings on some level. Did he mean to do it? 9 out of 10 times, no. It's just something that kind of overrides the thing, and trying to help people understand. In that situation of getting mad and getting upset and getting hurt about a birthday, you should look at the situation of your insecurities about that whole thing and realize it's just a birthday. Now, sure, we want to sit there and get recognition, that kind of stuff. But I guarantee you, I tell my kids this when we were sitting there going through holidays and stuff. Didn't have money for certain holidays like Christmas and stuff. Doesn't mean we can't celebrate that one event whenever we want to. And that's the whole thing of taking initiative and going, okay, we didn't have money this time. What did we learn? Sometimes in situations, it's learning how to really love and care about people and realizing money had nothing to do with it. The opportunities you're looking for is just opening your head, open your heart. Well, actually, open your heart first and your head and realize that the solutions to these things are so easy. It's just the idea of realizing that the solution's within ourselves and what we're going to attract. You're going to attract good things or bad things. But that's people tell you, do I have good luck or bad luck? Don't believe in that. I think it's a good decision, bad decision.
Yeah.
Make a decision. So, you know, it's like the situation of dating. Dating is just one of those things where I sit there and I did all the research. I just want to tell people, forget the internet. And it's one of those things also on the same level that also don't listen to what I say. But in the process of trying to make a decision, listen to your guidance and which way it takes you. So if it takes you to the point of listening to me, then listen to me. If it takes you somewhere else where you should listen to yourself, that's the strongest point too as well. Just take it in as advice. That's what I tell everybody myself. People come to me and say, I give you advice. You didn't take it. Oh, yeah, I did. I just put it in the equation. I put everything in the equation. And then I make a decision. I have a bad habit of being an adult and doing what I think I should do. I follow my own guidance. Because I've had a lot of things with the particular relationship I was in where people say, well, you shouldn't call them. You should leave them alone. And, you know, I got to the point where there are certain times you should do that and certain times you shouldn't. But at the same time, I had guidance coming to me on certain particular times to either relay a message or say something. So I followed my own guidance, and then I went back to the point of saying no communication. Because a lot of times, I think what the real point there is of saying don't communicate with them verbally is to sit back and see what you feel. And I did. I sat back, I just took the time and said, okay, how do I feel about the situation? Was it real? I can tell. As long as I sit back and look what was going on, what do I feel when I think about this person? What do I feel when I look at the situation? As in what we went through and things like that, looking at the situation and getting back together and those kind of things, how does that feel? How does that resonate with me? So I sit here and focus on the heart. What do I feel at those moments? I felt this intense warmth go all over me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That told me right there and there it was real. It was something good. I look at her picture. I get shivers at my back. And people, you know, it's like looking at the situation. I think when you meet the person, realistically, you know them. And it's like a realization of knowing how much you really know yourself. And some of the things within you see within them, you see within yourself. So you see the reflection and realize that by taking the time to know who you are, and the more you know yourself, the more you know who you're going to be with. Because you'll recognize it. And you don't have to change anything about yourself. Nothing. The best thing to do in the situation in the first place is be yourself. And if you don't love yourself, that's why people try to change. It's not because I'm trying to find a certain guy. But see, I'm not trying to find a certain particular situation, you know, to cover that up when they should be looking within themselves and saying, you need to take a look inside yourself right now, because the outside is not going to change. The world is not going to change. It just won't. But I guarantee if you go inside yourself and look at the situation, the things you need to change about yourself, and then go about doing that, the outside of the world will change along with that. Now, the one thing people have to understand, the process of the world changing around you by changing within you, that means certain friends, family, and stuff will no longer be a part of the equation. That's the hardest part for a lot of people to do, and I say this with the particular women I've worked with, they have a hard time letting go of friends and family because they don't understand at the moment that all the thoughts, fears, perception, they have changed those things. Okay? They don't realize that a lot of those friends they attract into their lives were because of those fears and insecurities. So therefore, when you get rid of those and you change your perception to what you want to change in your life, like I want the one, I want my life the way it's supposed to be, not the way it's been, those people are part of your life of how it's been. So you're going to find out who really is the true friends and people that should be in your life to support your new path that you've chosen. Not to knock you off of it or try to keep you back on the old one, and that's the problem. See? That's the point. We want to change our lives. Those are the things that are going to change. And people say, you're trying to change me. A lot of times in those situations is they see the change coming. They're just not going to allow it to happen. See? Free will. Free will is good. Sometimes free will can work against you. But it's not really working against you. It's trying to get you to look at the situation just so things freely flow where they're supposed to. And then things will change. They always will. Things are always changing anyway. If you look at your life, I guarantee you're not the same person you was 3 weeks ago because all the things have crossed your path and all the influences. So it's like looking at those situations and realizing in the course of a relationship, things really change because it's not just you. Now it's two people and the reflections back and forth. And if you learn how to learn from all those reflections that come back and forth to you, you'll get closer because in the process of realizing things about yourself and also realizing some fears and stuff that you don't need to hang on to anymore, those blocks, those certain things that were between you are no longer there. That's what we talk about, the ideal, really falling in love with people and getting very intense feelings and bonds and connections, because in the process of meeting that one person, you have a tendency to easily let go of those perceptions and those blocks and everything that goes along with it, because you want that. You want to be unconditionally loved as much as you give it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like one of those things of looking at things going, it's like looking at the situation I was going through and saying, okay, not the ideal, really focusing on anything, but letting it go and proving to the point of actually what it was, which means the universe lined itself up once for that great relationship to happen. So why not allow it to do it again? It wasn't like I was up there rearranging the planets and stuff to have that to happen.
So they could make it happen again with the same person or someone new?
Well, it's like, look at the situation of relationships. We're not wanting to go back together. We're wanting to be together. Or like was looking for the one. You're looking for the one, the person you want to be with, not to fill some void.
Right.
But really, you don't have a void. You should not. If you're thinking, I have a void to fill, then you better ask yourself, if you have a void within your life, why? Because it shouldn't be another person to fill that.
Another person should enhance your life and not fill a void.
Yeah, because you're missing. Yeah. So therefore, you have to have a life to enhance.
Right.
And a life to share, not for someone to. I mean, think about this. I've had people call me and suicide things. And the one I had once, which actually I stopped working for a bit because that was really overwhelming. And it's like, I want to look at my family and friends and stuff and say, okay, you don't think I should do this kind of work? You have no idea what kind of work I do. Obviously, you don't. To have have a lady call me up and say that, I want you to tell me something right now so I won't kill myself. And I was like, well, thank you. There's something I never hear, something you don't hear every day. And thank you for the pressure. And she was like, no, I'm serious. I was like, oh, shoot, she is serious. So I sat there and said, okay, what is going on with your situation first? Can you just give me that? Just give me a little story, get her talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she told me that she was in a relationship with a guy who had put her on a pedestal, and she wasn't sure she could live up to the expectations of what he expected of her. And I told her she didn't have to. Just be yourself. And she goes, that's not good enough. And, see, in the midst of the conversation, it didn't matter what I said or what I didn't say. She'd already taken, because she told me flat out she was going to take a shot of morphine, overdosing a shot of morphine if I didn't tell her something good.
Wow.
And what I found out later, what I found out in the midst of the conversation was I felt it. I felt her energy going and going. See, she'd already taken the shot of morphine. And at the time I was talking to her, she was basically in the air. Whoa. Basically.
What is that?
That's my Skype calling through on the computer.
Oh.
Yeah, I told that one lady to call me back up to the show. I guess I should have told her that. I usually have a tendency to go over a little bit. Anyway, so the lady killed herself right there on the line, and I told her flat out that, why did you call me? I said, I'm not mad at you or anything kind of shape or form. I'm just asking you, what possessed you to call me? And she goes, to tell you the truth, I called the last person I really wanted to talk to. I do not know who that person was, but at that time it kind of gave me some shivers, and I didn't work for like 3 days. I even called a friend of mine and said, could you please just lie to me? Did that lady die? Now, from what I heard from a couple of friends of mine, she didn't. She still set the whole thing up where someone still found her, and the whole thing was going on. But, you know, it really brought some things about relationships to make people realize why you don't put somebody on a pedestal.
They always do. Because you always fall off. But
well, you shouldn't do that. I'm just saying, we're looking for balanced relationships. You can't have a balanced relationship with someone on a pedestal.
I know. I don't do it, but it seems like the men I get involved with put me up on a pedestal. And I can't be up there because I will fall.
Just look at the situation then and look at these people. Look at these men. Why are they doing that? What makes them feel like they need to do that? What kind of insecurity within themselves makes
mm-hmm.
them do that? And then look within yourself and say, you know, I don't like that. But the attention's good. So there's something about the whole thing, because I have to, realistically, when you look at people, every person that crosses your path reflects something back at you.
Yeah.
That's what we always say. Watch the signs that cross your path. Everything, even a cat. Why does that cat act like that? Well, you attracted that cat in your life right that moment. And cats got some really strong personalities, so a lot of times you can really see it really quicker going through a cat than you do a human being. But look at the situations why these things unfold the way they do. Because, I mean, the reason I feel like a lot of this stuff is coming out is the idea of looking within yourself right now and the idea of exactly what do you want, and that not the idea of asking yourself, what am I willing to settle for? Because a lot of times with the situation, the way we've been conditioned, those things happen. They happen. No, it happens, you know, because we'll sit there and get into a relationship and have some feelings and that kind of stuff, and then we'll start working on it and try to make it happen when we're not looking at certain things that are going on. I mean, that's what I was telling about. One thing I liked about when I was with the particular woman I was talking about was, I didn't really have to think about it. I was just doing things. You know, I didn't have no problem walking 15 minutes to a McDonald's to talk to her on Skype because I couldn't find a signal. I was looking for a solution. So I found a solution. Oh, there's a McDonald's. Just walk down there. So I walked it 15 minutes to talk to her. You know, because it wasn't the ideal like this. It wasn't the ideal, I'm scared if I didn't. There was a little bit of fear back and forth sometimes about not talking to each other. But then, in the process of walking down to see her, it was anticipation of seeing her. And there was a fear that if I didn't call her, yes. But once I started to make that decision and walk down there, then the fear went away to the point where it turned into anticipation. I can't wait to see her. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And constantly I was focusing on seeing, in the relationship, always focusing on seeing her. Now, I think some people need to, I think we all need to sit there and do that too when we're with somebody. Not to sit there and look at somebody and some kind of, you know, anything. Oh, this person, you know, I've heard questions about people saying, well, this guy's not good at sex. Really? Is that an expectation? Thank you for the pressure, you know? And
yeah.
Just things like that, you know, there are certain things that are going on. I have to realize that when two people together, and it's, I think, realistic, seriously, when it's together and things happen, I don't think that's going to hold it back. We've even traced it back to the situations with people not being able to function, back to some kind of stressful or any kind of emotional thing in the first place. So therefore, it all comes from the same thing, of stemming on those realizations. So therefore, when you start to think about it, if you get back to that point of actually being spontaneous, of just going, people think too much. You know, what if I get in that canoe and I think? Okay, this is a brand new canoe, and someone's actually, my mom's like that. Every time you go out on that freaking highway, you got a potential of getting hit. Yeah, but you also got the other side of the question. What if I go on the highway and I don't get hit? What if I go on the highway, it's a perfect point from point A to point B. That's why I focus. I was on a plane one time, and everybody, and I was here talking to the one next to me, I said that was a psychic. Well, a couple of people heard that. Next day, people were asking me a question. We're going to make it to the other spot. And I said, I would not be on this plane if we wasn't. I said, it's like I was telling everybody else, too. You know, it's not just the idea of being psychic. It's the idea of listening, what you hear, what you feel. And if you feel like you shouldn't be on this plane, then get the hell off. Because I guarantee you, you're being told that for a reason. And I sit there and said the same thing to them guys, too. I said, don't worry. One thing you have to realize when you ask for protection, if you have faith, it does work. I'll probably say that, I promise. But I was sitting there, and I told him, I said, I've already asked Archangel Michael, and basically the angel is to protect the plane that gets from point A to point B. And thank you very much. And I sit in that plane, I remember, because we went through a lot of turbulence. I'm sitting there sleeping. I'm all relaxed. And he goes, doesn't it bother you? I'm like, no, why should it? Well, a lot of disturbances here. I was like, protection's in place. It's okay. Enjoy the ride. And I did. I love flying. So I'm just back going to that, you know. And that's what you got to do with relationships, too. You just got to put it back there and ask God and the angels to bring the right person to you. It's your divine right. If it's a house, ask God and angels to take you to the place where you're supposed to live or your home's supposed to be at by divine right.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that particular person to me who's supposed to be my wife, or am I supposed to be my wife, and in your particular situation, wife, be your husband by divine right. And please bring those to me right now, because I'm living in the now, and that's where I want to live in those situations right now. I'm ready to take 100% responsibility for that manifestation right here and right now. So be it, so it is.
And you can manifest it if you're if you're ready.
Well, one thing you have to sit and look at the situation and say, if you say those things to yourself, I really think you're ready. It's if you don't want to let the ego or the mind get in and say, well, are you sure about that? Because you've had some bad situations and that kind of stuff. You go, shh. Yes. Yes is a very powerful spiritual tool. When you put yourself in a situation, yes, I am ready for those situations. I am ready for that woman who's going to be my wife to come back or to come to me by divine right now. I am ready to go to that special place that's going to be my home where I'll be living at right now. I am ready. Yes. Right now. Yes, 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 yes. And I always put the ideal, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you at the end of it too. Because you can hear that, you can feel the power off those things. You know, thank you, and then yes. There's a certain energy with those things. That this is what I want. These are the things that are for me. And these are the things I want at this moment. I want to live the life that I'm supposed to be living by design right, the way my life's supposed to be, with the idea of prosperity, abundance, love, loving relationships, loving friends, loving family, and the whole thing. That's what I want, and I want it now, and I'm ready 100% to take responsibility for that manifestation and for those things to be a part of my life at this moment. Yes, I'm ready.
I just wrote that down. I mean, I've written a lot of this stuff down, but...
Well, one thing about the show is, even when we're not streaming on air, it's all being recorded, so you can go back in the archives and get it.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes,
I didn't know
you can
that.
You can go back and listen to yourself and go, I don't sound like that.
Oh,
anyway.
So you can go back. So I didn't have to write pages and pages of notes.
Well, if you do write pages and notes, you can also go back and check out and make sure that you got it all in there.
Well, that's a good feature.
Go back into the archives, guys. I'm actually been wanting to do that a lot. And that's the only reason I want to be in a place right now that would be my home where I can sit down and put this. Actually, I feel like there's three books coming out of this whole scenario. Book on perceptions, book on love itself and a book on relationships, not just relationships in particular, like loving relationships would be one of the chapters. But I'm saying they were perception. Perception, I think a lot of times people don't realize the idea of perception. Your perceptions of how you see things has a tendency to hold you back or propel you forward. And what are you going to do? It's the idea of looking at your perceptions and what is really there. That's the idea of going within yourself and asking yourself, what did I do to get that response? The lady like we talked before about the lady who was in there talking about all these people are throwing wrenches and stuff in their way. And
right.
I was saying, well, this is crazy because this mirrors my situation so much. I'm sitting there looking at the situation going, because I got family and friends. My mom's constantly, I mean, she's actually taking some of my cards away. And she doesn't want my books or nothing that has anything to do with any kind of thing I do in her house.
Yeah, really?
When I go visit her, I get to put things on the back porch. And then my daughter, she's basically almost like a younger version of her, where it's like, these are the things that we think you should be doing with your life instead of what you've been doing with your life. And I keep looking at it like this. There are certain things are blocks or something within myself that's keeping the success that I think I should be living. And the success and the things I'm supposed to have. And I said, it was kind of funny that when I'm not around these people, that's when I start having the great success. So why do I keep putting myself back in the situations of being around family? I'm limiting myself. So you sort of look at the situation, what's going on. So therefore, the one thing you have to look at and say, okay, the one thing for sure that has to change is location and to be away from everybody and everything.
Mm.
Not the idea that you don't care or love them anymore. It's just the idea that they've made a choice to not respect and to dictate what they think, so therefore it doesn't work.
They're holding you back.
Yeah, distance is one thing good anyway, to get perspective from both parts of the whole situation, because what it is the idea of trying to prove. And the point of trying to prove and get approval is why I keep myself in the situation, in the equation, in the same area, because I'm thinking one day it's going to happen. It's like a bad marriage, bad relationship, you know.
Mm.
The woman beat me up, but one day, she won't. And she'll see that she's in something special and that she has something special and she'll stop doing those things. That's where we get caught up in the illusion. You know, it's an addiction in some ways too, because that's how addictions are. You know, you get that one feeling and then you spend the rest of your time trying to chase that feeling.
Yeah.
And get yourself into a freaking ditch. But the situation is, well, like with relationships, it's like being addiction. It's like looking at those situations, and we knew for a fact with addiction, there is an outcome of crashing. And if you look at the same thing with relationships and the ideal attachment and stuff like that, they have the same thing to also go into the same mode as an addiction, which is a crash at the end of the whole thing of people trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, well, that's the part that's scary when you jump in, which you really should. I mean, you shouldn't have to overanalyze and come from a place of fear because you're afraid of getting hurt, you know? What?
Oh, no, I agree with you. You know, I'm just saying, with those crashes, we have to look at those crashes at the end, too. They're like, I believe relationships are like pregnancy. They're all different. Even in the equation of one person, relationships are all different. How they're done, how they come out, that kind of thing. Because, you know, like, look, and the reason I say that, you look at pregnancy. Now, what happens is a woman conceives and a woman has a child. But there's a lot of things that happen in between those two points that makes each one of those things different. You know, one's 10 pounds, one's with C-section, one wasn't a C-section, you know, all these little variations and stuff. And we look at relationships the same way, you know, two people come together. What happened? Even in the same context, one person who attracts different many people, even with the situation, you'll see there is a pattern sometimes. But at the same time, there's still a lot of things that happen in between, you know, conceiving the relationship and the end, or the separation. We should say the separation. Because I think when you meet people and you fall in love and that kind of stuff, I don't think love ever stops. You will always love those people forever.
They're always a part of you.
No, I think you love them. There's no such, you know, you love or you don't. And it's like looking at the situation and realizing one thing. Okay, I love that person. I care about that person. Because if you say you care about somebody, any kind of word, there has to be some love there. I'm just saying, when I look at the situation and go, okay, I love anybody, but you love everybody because you're an unconditionally loving person. And if you're not really unconditionally loving and you get to that point where you do and you are unconditionally loving, you'll look back on the situations and realize you still love those people. It just didn't work. It wasn't the one. But it doesn't denounce you as a loving, caring person. It just says, okay, in this situation, there were certain things that we realized. There were certain things that came to light. So therefore, it didn't work. You know, was your back
love? Well, what does it mean when people fall out of love?
There is no such thing. It's the idea I want to be there anymore, so I fall somewhere else. I had this thing with this particular girl I was talking to, where I felt like she was using it as an excuse because she didn't want to be in the relationship. Or she was trying to be more accommodating to her friends. So she came to me and she goes, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I said, well, first of all, before you say something like that, make sure you're not talking to a psychic and a relationship counselor. And see through that. That's, you're just full of it. And she goes, what? And but she did come back. It was cool. She came back and said, okay, so what's that mean? I said, this is what it means. When people say they're in love, they're in the relationship. When they're not in love with you anymore, but they still love you, that means they love you. This is what they did when they were in love with you. It's just that they're on the outside looking in, asking themselves if they want to be a part of it. So they still love you. They love you as much as they ever did. They're just questioning it. So they're on the outside, so they say, I'm not in love with you, which means I'm not 100% in the committed to you. There's some things I'm kind of wondering about. I still love you, but I'm still kind of questioning things. And when I sit here and told her that, she said, that makes a whole lot of sense. And she says, you've always been there to help me balance myself out, to understand things. So I was sitting here going, now you see, by explaining something and not getting angry with her,
right,
the outcome that they had, it was a different outcome. And that's what I tried to do. I tried to sit here and say, okay, you don't understand? No problem. Let me try to help you understand. If it's what you want. If you just want someone to listen to you, I'm sitting here listening to you too. I mean, I was saying that when I tried to talk, I was trying to explain to her about doing charity work. There's nothing wrong with doing charity work. There was nothing to hurt with her doing charity work. It was just something I noticed about looking for an outside source to make one feel confident about themselves and would refuse to look within themselves. That's what I'm saying. The different outcomes of certain relationships, why certain people do get back together and it works and some people that don't. It's the idea of looking at situations in a realistic way of following your heart, not what you think. Because everybody, like we've heard people say, this is the career that I think I should do. I just feel like this is what I got to do. But they don't really sit there and say why. They just feel like this is what they need to do. So you get a lot of thinking there. So you kind of wonder. That's why I was the one lady I was talking to is the idea of putting a little thing at the end of her manifestation thing she was focusing on to sit there and say this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concern, which opens all the doors to the possibilities, not just yours, but it's also a win-win situation. And that's why I look at the situations of certain relationships and breakups and stuff like that. When you look at two situations or two people breaking up, and then they don't get back together. And then you see when they finally let go of that whole thing, they always have a tendency to go on to different people, and they have two different lives. And that's what it was all about. And then you have other people who come back together who actually sit there and work with themselves, and now it works. Why does it work? Because they're allowing it to. They're opening up to the possibilities, not the impossibilities. They're not looking at the insecurities as in this person has a mole in their nose. They're looking at the people now. They're looking at each other in a spiritual way, and things are different. And that's the biggest problem that people don't want to do. They want to sit there and look at the situation and go, let's get back together. I said, not get back together. Just go forward. Keep moving forward. And then when you cross paths again, if it's one of those things you want to be together, then allow it to happen. Because no one wants to go back to the part where you broke up. You want to be in a better place, so therefore you can look back on something like that after you've gotten together to find out why. Because I think when you're in a good place, you can see those things for what they are, and they're easier to look at the situation and really come up with a solution if it's something that could resurface, or look at it for what it was. It was an insecurity that you don't have anymore. So there's a lot of things when we look at situations and go, okay, what's happening? And that's what it went with her. I mean, I tell people all the time, there's certain things that she has said and done, and I know for a fact it doesn't matter how many times I analyze the conversations and talking and what I feel like is still going on, energy-wise or thinking-wise or whatever, you know, something I have no intention of giving up on, but I do feel like it's one of those things you have to let go of to let it unfold as naturally as possible. Like my analogy was, it's like a rose. You take a rose, and some people are impatient. They want that rose to unfold now because they want to see the beauty. So they bang it on the freaking table. They break it and they kill it. Now, they just didn't kill the rose. They also killed the experience of the unfolding. They missed it all.
Yeah.
So that's the reason you should really focus on patience and acquire that to realize that, you know, in the process of impatience, you miss out on a lot of things, of the experiences and stuff that you have with each other. You really do. So when you look at those, that's what I'm saying with the situations. Why would, you know, what some people are always asking, are there certain people you should go back with? It's the idea of just living your life and going forward and proving to yourself.
Right, you don't go back.
Right. You let the universe do what it did the first time. But in the process of that universe doing that the first time, the one thing you were doing at that time was you just being yourself. So there's nothing to do but live your life, and you have goals and expectations and that kind of stuff. And the one thing I consider and tell people, too, to give you an example of what to expect of finding the right person is the energy that you have with each other. It's almost like the energy recognizes each other before you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a spontaneous thing at the same time. So you'll notice an anticipation when you meet somebody, I know this person.
Mm-hmm.
But usually before you said that, you already felt it. There's a feeling it hit me right now that I just know I know you from somewhere. And then you say it. So you see the realization happens at the same time, but just little seconds between each other. And I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine, I was like, we were talking about twin flames and soulmates. And I always feel like soulmates are learning lessons that we learn to get ourselves in a situation where we can actually be with our twin flame. So when you meet your twin flame, what you're going to get is intense energy. It's almost like thinking about, we said this on the show too, what are twin flames? I said, imagine God created this light, this energy that was so bright and so powerful. It couldn't be contained in one body. So therefore, man and woman, he takes the energy and puts it in both of them. Now, when these two people come together, you're going, me and this girl was with that. It was a prime example of that because we couldn't talk. We had trouble talking on Skype, the phone, just anything that had anything with energy with it because the energy coming from her and me back and forth. And I told a friend of mine about that, and the first thing came out of her mouth was, you guys are twin flames. It was because of the energy transfer. It was going back and forth. To the point where we had to learn how to balance with each other. If you ever look at the tarot cards, the lover's card,
mm-hmm.
actually, lover's card is actually backed up by the sign Gemini,
right?
Which is a male, which is actually the twins. But when people mm-hmm. balance the twins and that kind of energy within themselves, they have
mm-hmm.
balance within themselves, which also helps them balance everything and anything you can think of within their lives, but they have to master that. The same thing with two people come together. It's not the idea of finding fault with each other. It's the idea of finding solutions.
Right. But a lot of, I just came out of one. Well, the first one that I was in after just being out of the romance world for like 2.5 years because of my divorce, but wait a minute, where was this going? What were you just talking about?
Oh, okay. You lost me there.
I know. I lost myself.
Okay. You said you came out. Okay. You got divorced. 2 years. Okay. After 2 years. Okay. Was you with somebody then? And then you come out of a relationship?
No, I was alone for like 2.5 years. And then I met this person. And
mm-hmm.
After being alone for 2.5 years, because I felt I was ready. And I was reluctant, you know, it was because, you know, it was so new again for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not following my heart enough. I was analyzing the relationship too much. So I ended up ultimately sabotaging it because,
right.
you know, I was projecting, like, you know, we're too different, even though... we did have an amazing connection, but I was trying to rationalize everything, and in that process, I ruined it. And now, and then I regretted it, and I know, I don't know why I was sabotaging it. I guess out of fear, you know.
Well, we have to look at the situation too. When people say, "Well, I think it was fear," and ask ourselves, "That's okay. You love somebody unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
That's positive." And then you start focusing on the negative. That's what pulled you apart.
Oh, that's where it was going. Yeah, I was focusing on the negative, and I guess it wasn't unconditional, because if it had been, I wouldn't have sabotaged it.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't take away from the whole situation saying you wasn't in love. It's just that you wouldn't allow yourself to unconditionally do it, to the point where the analyzing certain things, like you said before, with certain fears that you still had, took it away.
Yeah, but
so
I learned.
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously learned. I mean, I'm not, hopefully when I delve in the next time, I just do things differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, with situations, like looking at situations of things I've been through myself, and I saw the person on the other end, it's what we were trying to explain that one day, we're sitting there saying, okay, you're in the relationship, you did certain things, you knew, like when two people meet, at that moment, particularly with me and the girl I was with, we were sitting there talking to each other, we hadn't talked to each other in about 2-3 days because just couldn't get a connection with my laptop and stuff, so we couldn't talk on Skype and stuff. And it was, I think it was like maybe 2-3 days. But after that 2-3 days, we saw each other and it was just like this, whoa, this intense feeling where we just kind of looked at each other, and she looked at me, she goes, I can see it in your face, and I can see the whole thing. I can feel it from you, that you are how you feel. And I said, well, that's nice. I said, you're glowing as much as I am. And she just smiled. No. Just smiling. You go, okay, because we have this intensity going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she would say certain things, like, you know, people around her and friends and family, even the world, in some sense of the world, would say, you know, this is something that's happening over Skype and stuff, so this is not real. And the one thing I want to specify is the ideal, if there's two people in the situation, and they're as real as anything on the earth as well. So whatever's happening between those two people, no matter what avenue it is happening. Okay, and also the situation of realizations and that kind of stuff, of coming to a point and saying, okay, did I destroy the relationship?
Mm.
That's up to you. Because, like, you know, coming to a realization that you made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's just, you've made a mistake, okay? So a lot of times relationships don't come back together because other fears have a tendency to set in, that if I contact this person, either first he'll be angry with me, or he won't have nothing to do with me, or he'll be with somebody else. And I say, forget that and find out. Because
really?
If you're still drawn to do that, if you're still drawn to that person,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like you've made a mistake, then go and do what you got to do. Don't be scared of the outcome if it doesn't fall in the way you want it to. Like people say all the time, I don't want to be embarrassed. Be embarrassed. Because I guarantee
okay.
when you're going to be walking away from the situation going like this.
Well, now I know.
Because I tell people all the time, what if? Just take what if. And take it from the negative side. Say, you know, while the bathroom dreams, and say, what if I do contact this person, and they've been thinking about me as much as I've been thinking about them. And just from that one contact, it all starts again, as in the positive we've always had and the connection we've always had. So therefore, that's funny, I was sitting there looking at a situation saying, people go, well, what happens when two people have that realization? Well, one person realizes it, embraces it. The other person realizes it too. But then they go in their head and they start thinking about it. They're taking themselves away from the heart. And how can you tell that? I'll give you an example. The girl I was with, and I caught this in a conversation we had on Yahoo, and I just contacted her and told her. I said, and I tell people all the time, I guarantee if you can say these words to a girl or a guy,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you feel them yourself. You couldn't be able to do that. And I said, if you don't, well, if you do say those things, I feel no matter what you feel. And I just told her flat out, I'm thinking about you. I got to say hello. I got to, you know, just say, hey, what's up? Because, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I was just, that came to me real quickly. I just want you to understand how I really feel about you. So I just said, this is how I feel. I said, I love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength.